The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
Andy Hart.
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No, you're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and wouldn't you know it, it's snowing. But supposedly it's not supposed to accumulate to anything.
Is it snowing here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Yep. But we don't care because we're warm. We're still glowing.
Well, not really.
You don't care because you live a mile from the stadium.
We're still glowing in the
suddenly Dale Arnold's
in
on the
warmth
show.
Of the Patriots Super Bowl victory. I'm telling you, that's the only thing getting me through the snow this year is the fact that we won. Had we come back and lost.
Is that a shtick or do you really but like?
No, I would have jumped into a snowbank by now if we had lost. Life would have been too
not driven. He would have jumped
right.
And then climbed out.
Now,
you wouldn't die from
right.
that. Now Aaron Salkin is on
right.
the show.
It's like Marty Walsh was getting mad at those kids for jumping up.
Yeah, you're not at Loon Mountain.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. The gang's all here. Andy, Eric, Paul, Fred. Chris is in the booth, not Kevin.
Yeah,
I don't
why?
Know where Kevin is. Do we know where Kevin is?
No idea.
No. Do you?
Chris, where's Kevin?
He wasn't
no
here
idea.
The other day either.
No idea.
Remember? And then he just pops into your office for a little bit. And then
now
he pops out.
Now we're down to two shows a week, and he can't make either one of them.
Right. So.
More importantly, I want to get right into this. When you jumped ship on Jonas Gray, why was that?
I have a feeling that there's more to him not playing than just missing, you know, being 5 minutes late to a meeting.
You have a feeling that there's more to it than he missed a meeting like 2 months ago?
Yeah, you know, I just, there's something's not rubbing me the right way.
And I think you're right. You're probably not familiar with today's events.
Oh, he's doing the stand-up comedy at the Kowloon?
And he was making the media rounds to promote it this morning.
Yeah.
And didn't call one of the stations when he was supposed to. Hung up on the other station. So
is that part of his shtick, maybe?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he's a bad guy.
No.
But maturity, responsibility,
yeah.
Seems like there might be some issues there that are continuous.
Absolutely.
Ongoing.
I mean, he had the opportunity there after that Colts game to, and you're late for a meeting? Okay. But I have a feeling there's more stuff than that.
And before he hung up on, what is it, Paul? McKenzie and?
Carson and McKenzie.
Carson and McKenzie. They were sort of asking him, you know, what's fair game in your stand-up? Will you talk about oversleeping and missing meetings? And he goes, oh, yeah, that's all, you know, missing meetings, oversleeping, Deflategate. Those are all things that are fair game for my stand. I'm thinking, this isn't going to end well for you, son.
Yeah. I'm a little, you know, my hopes for him have been.
The bloom is off.
Because we actually even got a tweet about it, someone asking specifically about you in Gray and why.
Was there an incident?
Came.
No.
Did he rub you the wrong way? Did you rub him the wrong way?
Right.
He just came to his senses, that's all.
But why? He usually doesn't. Like, he went down with the Lance Armstrong ship until it sank.
Yeah.
You know, there were enough rats jumping, there were enough leaks in that ship, and he went down with it. But Jonas Gray, he kind of was on it, and then all of a sudden off it.
Yeah.
I mean, when was it, the AFC title game or the Ravens game? that you were like, come on, can't we just put – it must have been the AFC title game. They were blowing him out, and you were like, come on, can't we just put Gray in
yeah,
now?
Yeah, the one he snapped at
yeah.
me? Yeah. It was one of those runs that Blunt had that he broke like three tackles in the backfield and got like 12 yards. And I go, yeah, Gray would have done that. Not a good time for that for me because Fred jumped all kinds of ugly on
right.
me.
So he would have gotten 30. Yeah.
So it was after the second half of the AFC title game sometime that you jumped ship.
I don't know. I didn't document it.
No, I know, and that's I find it strange. And apparently you were right. You were worthy in, you know, this more events as it plays out, but I find it fascinating that you were so
well,
how many fights did
for anyone
have
to suggest that he wasn't playing because he overslept the week before the Detroit game.
Right.
You know, in the Super Bowl. I mean that's quite a stretch. And I'm not suggesting that you thought that, Fred. I don't think you felt like that for a long time. That it was simply because he missed a meeting.
Right.
That he wasn't playing. But I don't know. Maybe there is some more to the whole lack of responsibility part of it.
You want to take that?
No, I just declined.
Yeah, I think there is something. I think that maybe football's not that important to him.
Well, he's got his comedy career to follow.
You know? So, but it just seems like he had such an opportunity right there for him.
Oh, yeah. You it know? Was there for him. Now, I do think the Blunt situation changed it. I mean, depending on how, you know, if Blunt hadn't come back, I don't know how things may
sure.
have been.
But different. I wonder, let's say he doesn't oversleep that first week after he runs against Indianapolis, and they still bring Blunt back. I mean, does anything change as far as his playing time?
Blunt is better. Hashtag Blunt
right.
is better.
That's my point. I don't know if...
But if Blunt didn't come back, I'm saying, maybe he oversleeps and then they're forced to use Bolden, and Bolden sprains an ankle or gets hurt, and you know things could have played out
well,
differently.
I think the smart move was to bring Blunt back.
I do too.
No, I know, but yeah. I'm saying in an alternate universe where he doesn't walk off the field and get released by Pittsburgh, how
right.
do things play out differently in New England for Jonas Gray and the Patriots?
I think you probably would have brought somebody else in.
Probably.
You know? Because I think you needed...
Like
Belichick
who,
doesn't suffer fools lightly.
Yeah.
Like who could have come in at that
anybody.
Point and contributed...
Then Jarvis Green-Ellis, I don't know. Whoever, some guy out there that we're not even thinking of.
Right.
Well, Benny makes sense.
Or you
but...
give it to Devlin more often.
Oh, boy.
No.
Oh, by the way, I this was pointed out to me, and I don't know why I didn't realize this, but my guy Jordan Todman, restricted free agent. He,
yeah.
The tweets pointed out.
Yeah.
Someone asked me, how many times is Jumbo Hearts
and I didn't,
Diamonds
but
RFA?
Not a stupid thing. Because you look at it, they're looking for competition or options as a third down running back, and they could use a kick returner, especially if Amendola is cut.
Hmm.
Not the most, and I know they did a lot of pre-draft work on him, so we're in some way interested. So,
local guy.
I'm not saying it is, but he might be a low money. Like, he finished, last I checked, he was like a top five kick returner in the league. And, you know, might give you some options as a speedy guy, just a competitive guy, a body.
And to continue our...
Although restricted free agents never change teams.
No.
Yeah, I mean, to continue our third down back kind of talk, which Todman would be a part of, Reggie Bush, since the last show, has officially been
cut,
released. And
I read up a little more on the drug stuff.
Well, someone, a Lions fan wrote to me, and I wrote, we sort of exchanged emails back and forth saying that it's not as much about the drug stuff as is they just didn't want him back. And
right.
clearly, I mean, on paper, the fan who wrote me is right because they didn't save money. It's like $1.7 million.
Right.
They clearly didn't want the player because that's not enough cap savings to warrant, to me, a transaction like that. But to me, that stuff, that peripheral stuff with Sharper, I would not want really to
but
be.
But that's very
tied to
vague,
that.
The connections. And
yeah,
the more
guy,
I read about it.
This guy says
like,
that he adamantly denies it.
No. But even like the guy who made the proclamation that he saw him do it in Vegas, this guy, and I didn't really understand what this guy's being charged with. He's a former deputy sheriff, the guy who's making the allegation, who is now going to prison in his own right for his own issues. But. He first claimed he saw Reggie Bush put MDMA or whatever, Molly or whatever, in drinks in Vegas and hand them out. Then later claimed that Bush joked to him that he does that, changed his story, said, I never saw it. And there's also a question as to, apparently this happened some places, that Bush might have been giving it to people who were aware they were getting it. Like they were ingesting it intentionally.
Oh, for God's
like this is what they do.
Right.
Now, I don't know how that works either. We just had the incident at Wesleyan where all the Molly, the crap.
Right.
But so it's a,
Andy
it's
has
a
to point
hazy
that out.
Situation.
Wesleyan, you know, NESCAC school.
Doesn't happen at Tufts.
No.
Oh, no, they just pee in hotel lobbies.
off the balcony.
What is worse, peeing off a hotel lobby or taking illegal drugs?
I'm pretty
drugs?
Sure that they do some of those things at Tufts.
I don't believe
and,
that.
And every other college
yeah,
in America.
You show me.
Before
give
me you
tell
me BU does it too. Yeah,
give me three examples.
Just show me where there's college kids, and that's where they're doing it. You know?
I know. I'm just kidding. I was going to give Field Yates a hard time about it. Those Wesleyan boys. Bill, those Wesleyan boys.
So it's just another guy to throw into the mix, and we talked about it on Tuesday. Reggie Bush, home run. Absolutely. If you could get him, and I think you could get him at this stage for probably
but
a little bit
I'd
less.
I'd take him.
I would definitely take a run if I think it's a fantastic
I think play. He's a better.
But you have to look at, you know, you said he wasn't that much of a hit. They didn't save that much money by getting rid of him, so they probably did get rid of him because of all this. They didn't want to deal with that. Right.
Well, who knows?
Well, they didn't save that much money getting rid of him, but he wasn't overly productive for the Lions. He was hurt a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
That's when Team Belichick likes to swoop in.
Right.
Here's the first round.
For everybody's visual. Yeah. Paul actually did the Eagles, the celebration where he flapped his arm.
But I think that
swoop in.
I think that's one thing, and I did show the visual. That's one thing that Bill I think has been very smart at over the years is getting first round talents. At a stage where they're not costing first round money.
Yeah.
And he steps in and he knows there's an ability there now. In Reggie Bush's case, I mean, you saw the ability. He's had a terrific career. But maybe he's never been worthy of the second overall pick, but he's had a pretty good career.
But if there's this pending situation.
But there might not be.
Well,
everybody's got a pending situation.
Yeah, if there's a pending situation, Fred, this is all a moot point.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way the Patriots bring him in.
Why? That'll help his value.
Speaking of pending situations, Dez Bryant. What's going on there?
Lord only knows.
Yeah, God knows.
Yeah.
The video has not come out, or police report, which may or may not change the situation.
What I don't understand is now I read last night that the video is actually from a Walmart surveillance camera.
Which I don't understand.
I don't either. So how is this now being shopped around?
Right.
Doesn't Walmart have some liability here?
Because the reports are that the people that have it are thugs who are former friends of his. Well, how did they get a Walmart?
Right.
Did they work there, maybe?
I doubt it. If you're a hanger-on, you don't work at Walmart.
But maybe they know somebody that was there?
Maybe. The whole thing is just stinky.
You know, incident happens. The first thing they're thinking of, oh, they probably caught it on camera. You know, they contact somebody that works at Walmart. But still,
well, just Walmart.
You can't just contact them and they'll hand it over.
That's what I'm saying. Walmart owns that stuff. So if it got out, they're liable for if they didn't take care of that and it got out. Walmart's liable.
And if it got out to them and not the police.
Right.
Like, why? You're giving it to thugs, but not the police.
Yeah,
the fact that the parties have known about it for evidently as long as they have. I mean, even Adam Schefter said yesterday that this is something he's been working on since September. The Cowboys have been aware of it. Dez Bryant's been aware of it. That kind of tells me, Andy and I were talking about this off the air. They probably know what's on the tape, and it's really not anything. And the people that are trying to blackmail are trying to make it out to be worth a lot more than it really is, and that's why it's taken so long. They're holding out because they really don't have anything.
Yeah.
And there was an incident report that was read that sort of indicated that the police are well aware of what happened and chose not to arrest anybody, and evidently...
Did you read that? Because I've heard conflicting...
I just heard Rich Chertenlieb on Toucher and Rich read the entire report off of whatever he was reading. I don't know if it was, I assume, off the computer. But just saying that there's a lot of question as to what exactly happened.
Right.
But the story that came out was that Dez Bryant ended up being called to come and get his girlfriend.
But that was involved in something. Bryant and or girlfriend, right?
I don't know.
Because that's what I was told, that the story is he was called to come get the girlfriend who had been in an altercation with another man, but that man wasn't there at the time, and Dez Bryant was. So it could be a cover-up story.
Well, I mean, absolutely. First of all,
here's what we're going to do.
Dez Bryant. Is anybody going to raise an eyebrow if Dez Bryant was actually involved in something that was bad? I mean, the guy's volatile.
Yeah, but
that's that. You know,
this is very un-Andy-like. But
I actually have his side on this, which is not what I would normally have.
We know at some point in his life he was a really bad guy.
I think he's getting railroaded on this,
but. It kind of feels like maybe he's come out the other side of that, and now his past could be dragging him down.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Which might explain the way he was tweeting in the aftermath of it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to be stunned if he gets, you know, if we find out that he did something wrong.
Either.
I mean, I think he is, as you put it, he was a bad guy. And I think
but
he
it'll
kind of
suck
is.
If he was a bad guy and isn't anymore, and yet you feel like you maybe you escaped your past and now your past catches you.
They keep dragging me back.
That'll kind of
suck. And that happens a lot.
I know.
That happens a lot
with these guys. But it's unfortunate because there's a lot of guys that don't try to change and don't try to get out and skate by.
Right.
And I also think that if these writers, and you know, No Socks just came in the
studio. Matty No Socks Smith is here. I don't know.
No Socks and I were on yesterday. We're talking yesterday about this and some of the like the Deflategate stuff and how the media has just really not covered itself in any glory. I think this is another example. If Adam Schefter hasn't seen a video, he shouldn't be talking about it. I've been working on this story about a Dez Bryant video since September. It's not really that much different than Tomasi's story about Spygate. If you don't have it, you don't have it.
Right.
Where does Jim McNally go to get his reputation back?
Right.
In any event, I came bearing some good news, I think, for the PFW boys.
Montevideo?
It stops snowing?
The invoice that I gave you doesn't necessarily mean no ticky, no laundry, because I received today a hard drive with all the collegiate images.
Nice.
Footage on it.
Excellent.
So,
we don't have to pay for it?
No, we do.
We do, but we don't have to pay for it before we get it.
I actually put that in yesterday. So
great. But we have it today. So we are diligently ingesting that so the PFW boys can continue their in-depth scouting on all the great collegiate players out
which
there.
Which is important.
All right?
Because I'm way behind.
Good
just,
stuff.
Just wanted to let you know that.
Fred, excellent.
Did you see, I tweeted out last night, do you know there's going to be three guys with the last name Collins that are going to go in the first round?
Oh, yeah?
And immediately everybody said, your boss is going to struggle with that one. But there's like two guys from LSU, a corner, a guard, and a safety from Alabama.
Yeah. Zach Vigil is the guy you want to keep your eye on. Inside linebacker out of Utah State.
La'el Collins. O-lineman.
There's another La-something Collins. Who's the Collins?
Hang on. Searching.
Guard, I think. Tackle.
Searching.
Ellis. No, that's La'el. Who's the corner?
Yeah, La'el.
There's a corner, I believe, and then there's a safety out of Bama.
Okay, hang on.
Thank you, Matthew.
Looking. Yep, thanks, Matt. Jalen Collins is the corner from LSU, and Landon Collins is the safety, free safety from
Alabama. He's the best Collins,
Alabama.
Right?
Yes. Well, Landon Collins is, maybe. He's the top safety. I don't know if he's the top-rated Collins.
No, he is the top-rated Collins.
Okay.
But he could be a bust.
And then there's Kevin Collins.
Who's useless.
Right. And
he's not going the first
round. Rum Collins.
The lowest-rated Collins.
Not a priority free agent.
Bottom
not a priority
Tom
on any
Collins.
Level.
Tom Collins.
Oh, I get a lot of those, too. Plenty of jokes started flying about Collins and this and Jamie and Collins is better than Collins. But the other Collins is a dark horse. Yeah.
All right, any
Shane Vereen.
We email driven. Now we're all about Collins.
That was terrible. If Chris knew how to do,
I know. That's exactly. There we go.
Hey.
You're already better than Kevin.
Not really.
Shane Vereen has disputed the fact that he's looking for $5 million a year via Twitter.
Oh.
He said, "Well, anybody would take it, but not true."
So he didn't send a text to Jeff Howe.
Oh, I didn't know he supposedly sent a text to Jeff Howe.
That wasn't in the story. Jeff Howe quoted the source.
Right.
Yeah.
Why did you
it
think
could
it
have been.
Shane Vereen?
That could have been the way Jeff got the information, but
that's not how it was written.
But he tweeted that he
and if Jeff is now saying that he tweeted me, I mean he texted me and said that, then that's really bad.
Cody from Illinois says, "Did you guys see Vereen's tweet to Jeff Howe about wanting $5 million a year?"
No.
No.
No, he tweeted out a link to Jeff Howe's story. And said, "Ha ha! Who wouldn't? But not true." Were the exact words.
Right.
Yeah, I think that any tweet or text to Jeff Howe probably would have been disputing that he wants $5 million.
Okay.
Well, I mean, everybody wants $5 million at this point.
Yeah,
but demanding is probably a better way.
Plus,
can we all
does
agree?
That change your opinion of whether he's going to be back or not?
No, we knew he wasn't getting $5 million. Yeah. The question is he getting more than what you're comfortable with?
If you know that they're not asking for $5 million, does it change your opinion?
No.
Of what?
I don't think he's going to be back.
Whether he's back or not.
I think there's a chance he's back,
I think
but this
a chance
hasn't
he's
changed
back.
My
sure.
opinion. I don't think anybody in their right minds ever thought he was getting $5 million a year. His agent, him, any team, any fan.
I think if he wants $3 million a year,
you're
he's not
missing
getting
my
it.
Point.
Okay,
it hasn't, changed my opinion because I think if he wants $3 million a year, he's not getting it.
Really?
Yes.
Why? He's not
I don't,
worth $3 million a year?
I didn't say that. I don't think he'll get it here. I don't think
they
value
don't pay
that
anybody.
Spot.
They didn't
if you
pay
look at what they
pay
they running pay backs,
anybody.
They don't pay that.
Now, I think
they allowed
LeGarrette
Blount to walk for a lot less than that last year. They don't pay that position very often.
I think they would value him at $3 million.
I think there's a chance based on there's no replacements on the team. And I don't think it's going to be overly cheap to go get C.J. Spiller. Now, maybe Roy Alou.
Hello.
But you know, there's a lot of them, which maybe that helps them, that there's a bunch of these guys kind of floating around out
there. That's kind of how I feel about it, and I know that I'll be made fun of for this, but I feel like you can plug a guy into that spot. And I think that they'll do that just like they have in the past. They went from Falk to Woodhead to Vereen. Mm-hmm. I don't think it matters to them that much. I really don't. I don't think they would give $3 million a year to that position.
It matters on some level. I mean, they drafted him in the second round, so they valued it at some level.
Yeah, and I think that they'll do that, again.
Paul's positions that don't matter, third down.
Oh, no.
Back, check.
You asked me two different questions. Okay. You asked me if I would have no problem. I think Vereen's pretty good. I would have no problem giving my third down back, you know, $3 million. I value that position. I think that is one of the positions that's important in today's game. I don't think the Patriots do.
I mean, we can pay Kyle Arrington $4.5 million, but we can't pay Shane Vereen $3 million.
I think they would give him $3 million.
We'll see. They never have.
Well, they never have, but I think that's a different argument because of some of the circumstances.
How much did Falk make in his heyday?
I thought we went over this.
It was like 5 years, $15 million, three and change.
Right.
Okay.
So they paid Falk.
I don't think he made that much.
Well,
I think he made
different. Did he or didn't he? I mean, Miguel, you know, somebody.
I was pretty sure it was 5 years, $15 million, but.
Yeah, so that's over $3 million a year.
Well, actually, it's not. It is $3 million.
$3 million a year. But back then, you know, prices have risen since then. So
okay, but I don't. If I'm going to trust Andy because Andy's much better in the contract stuff.
Wait, this is just Andy.
I give him a compliment, and now he's yelling.
This is
at me.
Like Andy skimming clips or something, and just retaining a little.
I also don't think Shane Vereen is anywhere near Kevin Falk, so I don't think that they would value him
either.
Like that. I think Kevin Falk was special, and I'm. You know, he got just $3 million a year.
Yeah,
if indeed
more.
He did, he was a lot more valuable than Shane Vereen. And I don't care about numbers and the stats, what he had. I know Vereen had career highs in rushes and yards and catches and yards and touchdowns. He was not anywhere near as good at that job as Kevin Falk was. Not even close.
Well, certainly hasn't been as durable, you know, so. But if he continued, I don't know. I just think.
You might be right, Fred. The one thing that I always argue for the Patriots about is don't lock them into a corner. Don't say that this is what they do and this is what they don't do. And I guess I'm kind of guilty in saying they haven't ever really given that position the money. There's always a first time. They don't just have one way of doing things. So maybe they'll make an exception. Maybe this will be different for them, and Shane Vereen will be a guy. And Andy's point is a good one. They have James White on the roster. They can't possibly have any certainty with him going forward as to what he can and can't do because he hasn't played. Oh. So maybe they look at it a little bit differently here and change
what
they do.
When did Woodhead come?
I think it was 10.
What was the roster situation when he arrived?
Someone had just gotten hurt, right?
That's why I'm asking.
Yes. You know what? I believe it was Falk against the Jets.
Had the high ankle sprain, maybe?
Yeah, in like week two against the Jets. And they had picked up.
Oh, wait. He got knocked out of bounds. Really hurt.
He got knocked out of bounds, really hurt.
Yeah.
And they had just picked up Woodhead. So it might have been like 09.
The Jets had just released him. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the Patriots had picked him up.
It was 10.
And then Falk gets hurt that week or the week after.
Yeah,
and
he got nailed out of bounds.
Right.
I remember that play.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was 2010.
All right.
Just looking at the stats, that's when Woodhead came in, and Falk was on that team in 2010. And then in 11, Falk was his last year and was inactive for the Super Bowl.
All right, let's go
I can't find the link.
Who's he?
Falk. Like in 2009, he made 2.9. That's his base salary. I don't. Yeah. 2.4. Well,
but
the year
before. To me, that's all you need. That he got $3 million a year.
There must have been some bonus money in there. So
he got
$3 million a year. But why I was asking, this is different. You lucked into Woodhead. Falk got hurt. You lucked into Woodhead. But right now you're planning. And there's a difference between those two things. You're planning. Can you plan to have White and, now I guess it depends on the level of play. Reggie Bush, obviously, you're fine.
Right.
If he stays healthy, he's a pretty good player.
Yep.
Roy Alou, more of a question mark. CJ Spiller, if he stays healthy, is a really good player.
Right.
But I don't know that you can say, Jordan Todman. I'll use my example. Jordan Todman and James White, they're going to battle it out for my third down back.
Right.
I think Tom Brady looks at that and goes, what?
Yeah, I'd have absolutely no problem with that.
Yeah, I would.
You would have no
problem? I think that's a key role.
You just said you valued the third down back role.
But I think one of those guys could do it that he just mentioned.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, could? Maybe.
Yeah. Will? I would have no problem with
I'd
that.
Have zero faith
I don't
in
think
either.
He's great at Sorry, it. I don't Jordan, think he's Darren Sproles.
Oh, he isn't.
I don't think he's a special third down back. I think it's very realistic that someone can come in and do what he does.
But he's competent.
And I think it's very realistic that you could replace him with a similarly competent third down back.
Well, you could, but how do you do it?
I think that the thing that you just did.
So you would say White and Todman, you're battling it out. One of you will be our third down back.
Yeah.
Whew. I think that's tiptoeing through a minefield.
I think it's a lot less of a risk than tiptoeing through a season with Kenbrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson as your wide receivers. And they did that.
Yeah, but that was wrong.
Well, they also had to give. They also had.
I know, but I think this is a lot less of a risk than that.
They also had to have Vereen do that. You know, he had to come in and be untested and.
But but he came in as a rookie, working his way up.
Like, okay, but he still was untested. I mean, James White had last year to be.
See, that's the difference between Andy and I. Andy is completely decided.
He played a couple of games.
You've decided that James White can't play.
No, I haven't.
I haven't.
I have decided I don't know whether he can play or not.
What I think Andy's saying is you don't want to go into the season depending on him having to play.
Yeah, I think that they would be fine if they what they thought of James White. This is one of those evaluation kind of things where we're not privy to their information. If they deemed that. You know, what we saw, he just didn't really have a room to play. You know, the way our roster was set up this year, we didn't really have any spots for him. Vereen was our guy. We didn't have any need for two of them. So he didn't really get much of an opportunity. But we think that he could step in for Vereen and do all the things that Vereen does.
Yeah, and maybe what Brady has seen in practice gives him the confidence when the season opens, and that's who
now,
he's in the backfield.
The other part of it, why I don't think he'll be back, probably the biggest reason is – we all agree that he has no chance of getting franchised, correct?
Yes.
Vereen.
Oh, yeah, no.
Okay? The combination of more valuable guys for the franchise tag and the fact that there's no way they're giving a running back franchise tag to Vereen. Okay? That means he's more than likely going to hit the open market. I mean, I think it would be absolutely foolish if Shane Vereen signed a contract today. He could, I mean, to each his own. But I think it would be foolishness to get to 2 weeks before free agency and not at least see what's out there.
You know how the Patriots operate.
Once he gets out there, someone's going to give him stupid money.
And also, once he gets out there, the Patriots have already gone to plan B. That's their M.O. They don't wait for the guy to come back to them and say, okay, I'll take that offer that you gave. They move on.
They'll move on to overpaying plan B.
Whatever it is, but think, they'll move on.
But right. I think you're largely right. Yeah. And I think the idea of getting him for quote-unquote less is out the door once he hits free agency.
I do, but I think right now, if he would take $3 million, I think I'd give it to him.
But I don't think he would take it.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying. I think he's going to get, at this point, he's going to go to the market.
Yep.
Like his $5 million thing is, I understand that's a starting point. He knows he's not going to get $5 million. And we saw those stories with the link that Andy's talking
about.
He's
also disputing that even, you know.
It's not even
his $5 million.
I think that's a flat out lie. I think that's where his representatives want to start. But he knows that he's not getting $5 million based on all of the guys that Andy's talking about in that story. None of them got $5 million. Well, they're all $4 million and lower.
That's why
Darren Sproles, you know, Reggie, all those guys got less than that.
It's not necessarily with the running backs once they hit the open market. That plenty of running backs have hit the open market and stayed on the open market.
Someone is going to give him money.
Maybe.
And someone's going to look at the Super Bowl and say, he can do that for us.
I would assume that, but the running back position has not necessarily bared that out.
But doing it in the Super Bowl, I think, definitely helped him. Doing it in that big game.
It shouldn't, but of course.
Yeah.
What did he do?
I think it should help
That's what I'm worried about.
When a guy
about.
Does it in that game, I think it shows something about his, you
See,
know.
I actually think, like Andy, I think, and even less so with it being a Patriot, you should know enough if you're one of the 31 other teams to know that that's just the way it worked out that day.
Right.
He could have just as easily had no catches in that game because the game plan might have been totally
different.
But
he could have just as easily dropped them, you know?
Oh, no. I mean, no third down back is dropping those passes. He's a little dump-off passes. I mean, he caught one pass with one hand.
Right.
No third down back is dropping those balls.
I'm not even sure that pass was intended for him.
But it was still a
nice
great catch.
Great catch. Great catch.
It was still
but
a great
using
catch.
Your logic, he's had some of his best games in the postseason.
Right.
If that matters to somebody, then maybe his value
is
a little higher.
And I actually, you know, you bring up the Houston game, because that's what you're talking about, the three touchdown game. Those were much more impressive plays.
Right.
I mean, he didn't have 11 catches. He probably only had three. But a couple of those catches were unbelievable.
Breaking news from Fred in Delaware. Schefter just tweeted that Judge Doty overruled Adrian Peterson's ruling, and he is now reinstated. Unlikely, but would you take him on the Patriots?
No.
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 Yeah. I mean, maybe his thing was overruled, but we know the evidence. We know what he did. You know?
Well, yeah, the thing that was overruled is not the court order.
It's about
it was his league, whatever his commissioner's list.
Yeah.
Doty is the arbiter or the what is
it? What legally, he pleaded out.
Yeah, right.
He pleaded no contest and he settled. So he, you know, it's not like he was found innocent. But right. Even if he were, I would have no interest.
Which one do you rank as a higher offense? Beating a woman or beating a kid?
Same thing.
I have beating a kid as worse.
They're pretty
same thing. It's
well,
one...
I know what you're saying because they're less.
It's a kid.
They're more vulnerable.
Yeah, it's a kid. Like that kid, you can say that a woman feels like she has no way out, and that kid has no way out. This is his father. The only thing he's ever known for a support or a system in life, beating the I just almost said poop. Out of him.
Yeah, I just think they're both equally reprehensible. And
well, they're equally reprehensible, but I think the child is obviously the more vulnerable, can't fight back as much maybe as an adult woman could.
That's higher on my list. He's more on my do not touch this than Ray Rice. Wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, and he's better.
Yep.
I think you could bring him in this passing offense, and he could have a phenomenally violent, productive year like Marshawn Lynch. No interest.
We could have an all-in-trouble running back team. You got Reggie Bush.
Of course, I might think differently if we were coming off a 2-14 season.
You know, my boy Felger was talking about, you know, like
boy Felger,
the true value. You know, everybody around here likes to use value. Yesterday. I mean, if you want to get the real value, it's what Andy
Greg
just
Hardy,
said.
Greg Hardy, Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson.
Ray Rice is your value running back.
Yeah,
Greg Hardy would be your value defensive end. Now, he said definitively that's not going to happen. The Patriots will not sign those players, and I agree with Mike. But if you're really looking at you know, and I understand why people are asking questions about Adrian Peterson. Because if you're just looking at it on paper, from a value standpoint, you could probably get him for a lot less than it would have cost you, and you have this incredibly talented guy. But at what cost?
Right.
And I don't think there's any chance that the Patriots are going to get into that market. At least I hope they don't.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
G'day, guys.
Hey.
G'day, Mike.
Don't you tell that's going to make the snow yet?
Sort of, but there's more coming down, according to Fred. I haven't looked out a window, but it's re-goddamn ridiculous.
No one on television right now. Oh, you missed it.
Got a hypothetical that I'm sure Paul won't like, but...
I love hypotheticals.
Say for whatever reason the Pats aren't able to re-sign Devin McCourty, and of course we hope that they do, but in case they're not able to, do you think they'd be able to do with Logan Ryan what they did with D-Mac and switch him across to a free safety? I mean, he's had a similar progression to McCourty. I know a few of you weren't impressed with as impressed with his first year as maybe some of the rest of us were, but I still think he had a great first year, showed some smarts, put himself in the position to make interceptions and make other big plays, and then sort of had a big drop-off in his second year, which was pretty much the pattern with McCourty. So I was just wondering if they can't come to terms with McCourty. Do they have a sort of a cheaper backup there that they could do with Ryan?
Is that kind of like me taking a similar career path as Adam Schefter? We do technically the same thing, but I mean, Devin McCourty was a Pro Bowl corner as
a
first-round
pick. Yeah, he was a much
better
player.
Who was impressive. And Daron Harmon was a Jag third-round pick.
Logan Ryan.
Logan Ryan, who had a magnet in his chest for an occasional football to go toward it. I just don't see any real comparison on their
failed
rookie
corners
years.
Is about the only comparison.
I don't think Logan Ryan. At least McCourty was good and then failed.
Right.
Logan Ryan never did anything to
him. Yeah, I didn't really see a huge drop-off from Logan Ryan from year one to year two like a lot of other people did. I didn't have the drop-off.
I mean, you guys didn't sort of see him as a good player to begin with, so I thought this might be a bit of a non-starter. But even in terms of like a value proposition, like you don't get as much, you wouldn't get as much as you did with McCourty, but maybe for the price they're looking for as they shuffle around some other pieces, you don't see it happening at all still?
It could happen.
Yeah, but
I mean, Daron Harmon is also in the mix. Remember, all reports were he was going to be definitively a starting safety last year until
his
he was job never
to
a
lose.
Starting safety.
Until
apparently,
he
lost it.
Until he never had it.
But I mean, if you keep if you keep Revis and you keep Browner and you have Arrington and you have Chung, well, yes, that feels like a position where you might be able to sneak a young player in there that you can kind of coddle and massage and situationalize and have the leader be Chung.
Yeah.
You know, So I wouldn't be stunned if that happened. I'd be surprised if McCourty leaves. But if he does leave, I will not be stunned if a youth movement is the answer to that spot.
No, Dan, I agree with you. I think that would be something that could happen.
I wasn't comfortable with Chung, and they won a Super Bowl.
Logan Ryan is a guy that I think could make that kind of a transition. I don't think that would be outrageous. I agree with Andy.
Yeah, that's okay. It's one of those things that's possible, but we'll see. I was just thinking what the professional journalists do and just throw something out there and see if it sticks.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Dan. Let's go to Melvin. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all?
Hey.
How doing?
Sup?
Man, I saw this morning, and this is just a personal thing for me, but I saw that Jacoby Jones was released.
Yes.
And I wanted him a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I wanted him a couple of years ago, too. Now I'm not so sure I want him. But
why? I'd take him as a kick returner.
What?
I would take him. I would take him, but not as much. I mean, I obviously don't want him as much as I wanted him when he was, you know.
I wouldn't pay him a lot. But
no, but no one's going to pay him a lot.
He's cheap.
I would take
him. I think he's like a $3 million a year guy. So I think if you do some scratching and stuff like that, if you do that with Amendola, and you have that money left, I would take a flyer, and I think he could help you with the e-ball plus. I am concerned about how he was not playing receiver as much, but you definitely get the kickoff return upgrade if you do swap that out with Amendola, I feel like. So
I'm also not sure it'll cost you $3 million. He made $3 million last year in Baltimore on a three-year deal that ended up being a one-year deal. I don't think he's going to get $3 million a year.
Well, good.
Wasn't that the last year? What was his situation?
It was a 1 year. They signed him a 3 year deal.
Oh, he was a free agent the year before that?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
And they signed him for like a 3 year, $10 million deal, and he got $3 million out of it, and they cut him.
Yeah, I'm not interested in paying him $3 million to be a kick returner.
No. And no one's going to.
But I like Jacoby Jones, always have, Melvin. I'm with you. I've always
liked
that.
Keep him off party buses with strippers and bottles.
These things happen.
The last thing
Who hasn't been in that situation?
I wish.
The only thing about him is that if we do lose Amendola, I feel like that, you know, we talked about if Eldon was to get hurt, we wouldn't have that replacement. The deal is, well, I was thinking, well, if we did get him, what has Boyce been doing? That's what the thing. Are we officially – I thought he was supposed to be the slot kind of receiver when we drafted him. So if the situation worked out and we did, I mean, really, like, do you all see – Boyce making this roster too, like once everything's said and dust set in stone, because I don't
not
see
if it's a good roster.
I don't put much faith in him.
Inconsistent, bad, inconsistent hands, inconsistent route running, kind of player.
Put him right with Dobson. They could both be on the team and be parts of the offense, but
not on
more likely I don't think that they have.
But I also less than Dobson, I don't think he can fill the role that Melvin's talking about. I don't think he's a consistent slot receiver, route runner. I think he got by more on athleticism in college and speed.
I agree.
So at least Dobson, okay, pie in the sky world, I think he could fill the bigger possession, make some plays receiver. I think Boyce, at his best, is not Edelman, isn't that kind of a player that they like in this offense.
Mm-mm, that sucks. All right, that's all the receivers gone, I guess, in a year, literally.
Well, that redo was not really great a redo.
It's been undone.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I bet Bill regrets saying? Redo.
Dave's in Chicago.
We pick on
hey, Dave.
Phrases.
How's it going, folks?
What's up?
Somebody kind of stole my thunder with Adrian Peterson, but I had a quick hypothetical with you. So, assuming that we can assign back, we're going to have Revis back, we're going to have McCourty back, if that's what you want to do. We have room for one more big-time player. Who would you pick? I was going to say Peterson, but obviously everybody's against that. If they're available. That's Brian. You can switch into Marius Thomas based on what's going on with Des these days. Or Ndamukong Suh.
Des Bryant.
Des Bryant.
If I had my choice of all that stuff.
And in my little.
I think there's a 0.0% chance of them signing a big money wide receiver.
I think there's almost no chance they sign a big money anything other than Darrell Revis
and Devin McCourty. I think this is one of those off seasons they have to spend their money on
internally.
Retaining their
But in my brands. Little pie in the sky world, Des Bryant has changed. And I would be able to spin that. No, that was back in 2011. He's a different guy now.
Now, between Des Bryant and Sue, who would help the Patriots more?
I would take Des Bryant.
See, I'd take Sue.
I don't think Sue's
good.
I don't think so either.
Sue,
I think Bryant
that you want
would
be
the
best.
The upgrade, I think, could be really, really. I mean, you have a pretty good offense. Gronk's out there. You score a lot of points. I know you're putting another Gronk-like guy out there, but Now, instead of Chris Jones playing and hoping that Easley can play, you're putting Sue. And that's a pretty big...
I think he could make a difference on every play.
He immediately becomes the best athlete on the front line.
Sure.
So now you have Sue, you have Collins, you're sort of layering your athleticism.
Right.
It's not going to happen, so I don't know why we're wasting time.
I don't, how about this? Some more realistic opportunities for wide receivers. I think we're missing just one more guy at the outside or somebody that could, that third guy that we can have if we're getting rid of Amendola. Three guys for you, Torrey Smith, Crabtree, and Cecil Shorts. What do you think the chances?
I don't think there's...
Well, you're not getting Torrey Smith.
You're not going to get...
Torrey
yeah.
Smith's going to get paid somewhere. Probably overpaid
somewhere.
Get a chance
on Crabtree either.
I would take him, though.
I would take him, but
that,
I don't
but
think
But in that trio, I would take him because I think he best suits what the Patriots lack. Cecil Shorts is adding another what they already have.
Right.
You know, I know he's a good player, but you kind of have that.
He was a good player on a really bad team.
Yeah, that's the other thing I would worry
really,
about.
With really bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, so see, that's the other thing I would worry about. Is he any good, or is he just the king of the dip poops, as I like to say?
Caldwell? Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
There are certainly a lot of names out there, and I know I saw somebody say this is like the best free agent class potentially ever with some of the stuff going on. I don't know how much they're including, like maybe Revis will be in it, or maybe so-and-so will be in it. But there's certainly going to be some interesting money spent and stuff going on. I did see the numbers. Patriots are the second least amount of cap space right now on the books. Somebody's like $23 million over, but technically the Patriots are about $4 million over.
Somebody is in real. The Saints, I think, maybe in real bad shape.
I think it may be the
23 or something
over. Yeah. And then the Patriots are the second most over. And then there's the teams on the other end with $50 million to spend. And then you also factor in all this hullabaloo about the four-year spending average and, we're well below the 90% or whatever it is and this and that. And there's a lot financially and talent-wise that's going to go on in about 10 days or whatever it is.
RJ from New Orleans, speaking of the Saints, is a first-time email. Love the show. I was wondering, what do you guys think about bringing back Dane Fletcher now that Hightower's recovering from surgery? Probably won't be available for the beginning of next season. I would love to see Fletcher back since he is another hybrid defensive end linebacker that Belichick could use to his advantage, not only give Nick and Jones some rest, but also give offenses different looks.
He never played defensive end here.
No.
Like he was
never
middle
a defensive
linebacker,
end
essentially. So that's not relevant. And I also think if you're worried that Hightower's not playing, you need to do better than Dane Fletcher as your
And there are better options out there. I actually just wrote about linebackers today for my position spotlight. I had Fletcher maybe coming back as if they decided they wanted a better special teamer than Chris White.
Well, he's better than Chris White because Chris White doesn't play any defense. At least Dane Fletcher can play defense.
That's what I mean.
I think White is probably a better special teams player.
Probably.
Like,
maybe.
But because he stayed in the league but not playing defense.
Overall, I would prefer a better player, and I think Dane Fletcher is the better player.
Or Fred's guy, some rookie that you think has an upside at the position.
But if you're worried about Mayo and Hightower, I'd look at a guy like Ray Maoluga as a possibility.
Okay.
It's funny how some of these guys like
that's going to cost you money,
right?
Yeah, but I mean, if you really think
bring back Brandon Spikes,
why? How do you say that?
I don't know.
Like, I
wasn't joking.
What? Why?
Well, Hightower does a hell of a lot more than just a thumper.
And he does a hell of a lot more than Dane Fletcher does. Like we're talking about
Fletcher is a pimple in the
NFL.
You've
already poo-pooed Dane Fletcher.
No, but
now we're moving on.
But we're talking
Brandon
about
Spikes
low
is
cost
a starting caliber
help.
Player. He can't play on three downs, but he can do pretty well in at least one of the downs. Dane Fletcher can't play defense.
No.
If he's on the field for consecutive defensive snaps, you don't have a good defense.
What?
He's not a very
He's
good
just
player.
Ranting and raving about Dane Fletcher. It's very good.
I mean, Brandon Spikes is a starting caliber player. I don't think he's great. I thought he was overrated, but he's a starting caliber player in the NFL. Dane Fletcher's not. Ray Maoluga,
on the league's ass.
Pimple.
So much energy
Eric's,
over Dane Fletcher.
Eric's Ray Maoluga. I mean, that's a starting caliber player to fill in. Now, he's going to cost you money.
Yeah.
Spikes and all he does is drink, right?
Spikes wouldn't cost you a whole lot of money.
Seems like with everybody, you got to consider what their off-field baggage is. He just has a drinking problem, right?
I didn't realize he had a drinking problem.
A lot of people emailing
I think everybody has a drinking
last
problem.
Show, I guess somebody said that Giselle is European, and Andy agreed to that. So she's from Brazil.
No, listen.
I said,
calm down, people.
The point was the European lifestyle
exactly.
of kissing everybody all the time. When
international.
She's Okay, yeah. International.
Her name is also German. She spends a lot of time there.
She was born in Brazil. Her parents were born in Germany.
Nine!
Right. But I understand she's Brazilian. We get it.
Okay.
You know,
call off the dog.
Call off the, relax, the Twitter people. Attack. I get it.
Speaking of Brazilians, the Lions cut Bush.
Look, Andy, that's not bad. That's not
I knew he'd like it because it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
No, it's
I knew
not
he
terrible.
Would like it. It's no, it's not terrible. It's not terrible.
Andy
but yes, and, thank you, everybody, for pointing out the fact that Gisele is actually Brazilian.
Andy in Tampa says, I'm planning on purchasing three games to Glory. Was hoping you could clarify, is it just the games or does it show post-game interviews and celebrations? Are there behind-the-scenes shots from the sidelines? Oh, it's much more than the games. It's all the
much
games,
more.
But more. It's behind the scenes. It's in
Mucho
the offices, in
buses,
practice.
Planes.
It's buses. It's interviews with players that you've never seen before. So it is the games and much, much more.
Are you intimately involved this time?
Intimately? Not intimately, but I was involved, yeah.
What's done?
It's not done. It's in the process. All, you know, it's mapped out. So now NFL Films, who does this for us, is getting it all together. It should be ready by mid-April to be shipped out.
Because the other one, the regular plain old one, I guess is done. Some guy emailed me and asked me if I wanted a copy to watch.
That's the
hour long special that they do, right. Like chronicling the season.
Yeah. The one that makes every team look good, even the Super Bowl champion or
right.
the
guy.
Yes,
that's the team why that the Patriots are on the rise. Yeah.
So can you?
We went 1-15 last year, dude.
Can you
can't
offer
get much worse,
up?
Right?
What?
Can you offer anything up?
Yeah,
Nuggets maybe.
Yeah, I remember on the Malcolm Butler. Play they were talking about, you know, it happening in practice.
Yeah.
Well,
you
oh,
have
you
the video of it happening in practice.
See that.
Oh, okay, that's good. That's good.
That would be very good.
Yeah. Now, who are some of the potential interviews or voices you'll hear from?
There's a lot of guys, like, right after the Super Bowl that they brought into a room and, you know, really, really emotional stuff that, you know, we haven't seen.
Oh, right after the game?
Right after the game.
Oh.
Yeah, so we haven't
in
seen
the locker
we
room?
Were planning ahead for
they
this.
Had a room that they brought him into.
Oh.
So no one's seen that stuff before. So I you know,
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. It's really cool stuff.
Does anybody cry?
Yeah, there's some
Brady.
Grown men crying.
Well, won't be the first time I've seen Brady cry.
So I would get it. I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, you have to have it.
They didn't
it's
have
a,
his
it's
pizza
a
today.
Walter in Cambridge says since quarterback
I
draft is not
still never know what
deep,
side he's on.
Since the quarterback draft is not deep, would you trade Garoppolo for Cleveland's number 12 or number 19 and pick up Hoyer? If Garoppolo was rated as a second-round quarterback a year with Brady in demand and years left on his contract, could up his value to a number one pick. Cleveland has two number one picks. Would you take both of Cleveland's picks for Garoppolo?
Yes.
Do you honestly think Cleveland would give you both of their number one picks with Jimmy Garoppolo?
I don't know. They do a lot of dumb things over
it
there.
It is Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I don't
but
see
that's not
them
what
doing
I asked
that.
You. I asked you if you thought that they would do that.
See, what you do with Cleveland is you call Farmer, you call the owner, you call Pettin, and you all ask them the same question, and you play them off each other, and all of a sudden somehow you
say, just, you know what? Just shoot Pettin a text and see what he says.
Let me put it this way, Pope. Forget about the name. If you're a team that believes.
Would I trade two number one picks for a backup quarterback? No.
Forget about
that's my answer.
He's not going to let me finish. Forget about the name. If you're a team that thinks that that guy is a franchise quarterback, is he worth two first round picks?
No.
Of course he is.
Brilliant. But he's never Brilliant. Played, and I'm just going off of what I think.
I'm saying
he's never played, but I just think that he might be this.
I mean,
no, I wouldn't give two number one picks.
If you're
for
the
that.
Browns, you can't
would
think
you
any
have
differently.
Give two first round picks for Andrew Luck when he was a rookie?
Yeah, but you
no.
thought
before he played?
Yeah.
Before he ever played, would I give two first-round picks coming out of Stanford?
Right.
No.
Oh, I would.
I would.
I would.
I can't. Well, you guys are better talent evaluators
two pick,
than me.
Two in the same draft or back-to-back years?
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But the difference
well, I
is
it does matter.
I loved Luck in college. I loved the college tape and all that stuff, but I wasn't that sure that I was going to say two number ones for him. Oh, no,
I would
wasn't
do
that
it.
Sure.
I would do it.
Luck was different.
Well, in retrospect, I would do it.
It's not the same thing.
Right.
Andrew Luck was a guy who was considered the elite quarterback.
Exactly.
Right. Jimmy Garoppolo, someone drafted
him. No, I said
the
forget about the name. I'm just saying.
No. But my point is I'm bringing reality to this.
Yeah, yeah.
The Browns, only thing the Browns have to go on is whatever they thought of Jimmy Garoppolo coming out of college. And they clearly didn't think he was a first-round pick coming out of college because they didn't take him in the first round.
No, but I'm forgetting.
So now you're making a hideous decision.
I'm forgetting about Garoppolo. I'm wondering if Paul thinks that there's any case in which he would give two first-round picks for a quarterback
that he thinks is their future.
That has never played?
Yeah, that's
no.
coming out of college.
No, for me, no.
So okay. You would never trade up for a quarterback?
Oh, I would. I could trade up for one, maybe, but I wouldn't give two first-round picks.
See, I would. If he's a blue chipper,
someone like Luck, I would have done that for.
Yeah, I would do it.
Garoppolo.
I think it's easy in retrospect. I would give two first-round picks today for Andrew Luck. I don't know how you can be that sure.
Well, you study him and you have to decide. You are.
Yeah.
You guys are better talent evaluators. If he's Ryan Leaf, you're screwed.
Well,
but, I mean, if he's Andrew Luck, it's worth it.
Right.
Yeah?
Yes, I agree. If it's Andrew Luck, it's worth it. But I don't know he's Andrew Luck.
Anyway, they're not trading Garoppolo, so why are we even talking about this?
Because somebody emailed.
Well, someone offered him two first-round picks. I would drive him to the airport.
No one's trading for Garoppolo is the flip side of it.
Right.
Everybody's enamored with Garoppolo. You know, in this draft, he might be the third quarterback taken as opposed to the fourth quarterback taken last year. What's the big difference?
Yeah. Right.
Right?
Right.
He went pretty high last year.
I mean, he would be rated right where he was rated last year in the draft.
Right. Do you think he'd be ahead of Mariota or Winston?
And no one thinks that he would be.
Right. So what are we talking about here? The same.
He may be better than Brett Hundley, so he might be third this year, whereas Teddy Bridgewater went after Bortles and Manziel and Bridgewater, right?
I mean, he should have gone higher last year because the Alki that went 22nd or whatever shouldn't have been in there. So, but the Browns are not going to change their... I mean, can you imagine if you're the Browns, you draft Johnny Manziel 22nd or wherever they took him, wherever that
Something
was.
Something like that. Sounds
and
like
then
it.
You trade two first
Where
round
you
picks.
Could have had Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Jimmy Garoppolo has not played.
Who went 30 picks later, by the way.
But has not played. And now you trade two first round picks to get him. Could you bungle a situation any more than that?
Of course not. No.
That's hideous. Now, if I'm the Patriots...
And if they wanted to do it.
Throw out what I said the other day. I wouldn't trade him for a one because I think the Patriots believe he is their future starter
but
and
two,
love him.
But two
but
ones.
But now two ones, well, now I'm just getting really good players.
Right.
And I'll figure out quarterback, and Brady says he's going to play forever, and he's like fine wine, Ortiz says, and all that crap.
Two ones, absolutely.
The size of that fish.
More importantly, I am now madly in love with the Fox Sports One woman that I talk about every day. She's beautiful, has big cans, great legs. Phenomenal. She needs to bump up from, you know, I probably should hear it with audio.
She kind of reminds me of,
say she should be somewhere else. But
kind of looks like Matt Damon, like a female Matt Damon.
Wow, did you just ruin my buzz?
That makes sense, though, because Andy thinks he looks like Matt Damon.
No,
and he's in love with himself.
Oh, that's true.
So by
that's time out, very, yeah. Not Andy thinks he looks like Matt Damon. Waitress in Washington thinks Andy looks
and
like
you,
Matt
and
Damon.
And you've embraced it.
Wouldn't
oh, yeah.
You?
Wouldn't
you've
you? Embraced it.
Why,
so
you wouldn't?
Why wouldn't you?
But you've embraced it, and you love yourself.
I'd like to embrace her.
So that would mean that you would love any woman that looks like Matt Damon.
She's got dimples. I think I like dimples.
I think you have issues.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, writes
in. I don't think.
Dear men of PFW, including but not limited to Eric, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I love the offseason. So much potential, so many unknowns. I do feel like this is one of the few off-seasons where our destiny is in our hands in terms of roster moves and securing a championship-caliber team. I'm very confident we'll sign Revis. He deserves to be the best-paid corner in football, and I think he's worth it. As for the draft, I think we'll be trading down a lot and gathering future picks, something I don't really have a problem with, providing we lock up our free agents, restructure our big cap numbers, and only let a few pieces go. Fred, you'll be pleased to know you were in my dreams the other night.
Oh, boy.
We were watching TV when Jane Seymour came on selling a soap with a slot pendants. Needless to say, you proceeded to trash my house, overturning numerous recycling bins full of Pepsi, shouting, "Who's the pussy now?" Good news on the Brady acting career, but what I'm really looking forward to is when he wins an Oscar and the inevitable Brady 6 documentary comes out, the six guys from his acting class who landed roles before he did, the tears, the disrespect he felt, what a story.
I hadn't thought of that. If he goes into acting, he can turn on the tears. That's a strength. That's a value, right?
Sure.
Be able to cry on cue.
Sure. But you don't think he really felt like that?
What?
That it was a tough day for him?
No, I do, but I think he can just put himself in that day
on.
And he'll cry.
Oh, okay. That's
like he
motivation.
Can use that for
it's
him.
Not like Joey Tribbiani and Friends where he had to poke a hole in his pocket and then pull out one of his hairs so he'd make him cry. You should watch more sitcoms.
I thought they used like onions.
No,
or
they don't do it. That was a stupid sitcom.
Oh, you have to draw on your own life experience.
No, they cheat.
You should be sobbing.
Oh, wow.
Now, Fred, that was good.
And that was a little mean.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he feels bad.
You're the ones that tells us, you know, you have a bad life.
Yeah. You're the one.
You should be sobbing.
You should be sobbing.
He does sob. He sobs every day to work.
That's sobbing. True. Where That's is true. Our food?
LT
I'm going to be sobbing.
LT from Canberra, originally
Canberra.
In Adelaide. What's that?
Canberra.
God, I hope LT emails in and goes, no, actually, it isn't.
No, he won't because it's Canberra.
LT is okay. A he?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a she. What does LT stand for?
No Lok Thai.
Lawrence Taylor.
Are you friends with LT?
No, you read the emails, moron, and they put their names in them.
I don't host.
It is Lok Thai.
How do you spell that?
Lok.
Well, two words.
Tone.
L-O-C.
Tone.
And then T-H-A-I.
Lok.
I see why he goes by LT.
Yeah, cause it's so difficult to pronounce.
He's got
to
make fun of him. Now.
God almighty.
I wanted to chime in on the discussion about Bill's genius. I think that Bill is not Bill
Walsh.
We
weren't discussing that.
I think that Bill is not Bill Walsh or Paul Brown in terms of innovative or true creative geniuses. To me, Bill's true genius lies in taking someone else's ideas and maximizing their efficiency. I know that Eric, especially, and Eric have been very critical of the Patriots drafting. I believe that the Patriots drafts have been consistently good, if not excellent.
Very,
looking
very,
at purely
very, very
the first
good.
Round picks, I would say that the chances of hitting on a good player is 50-50. When you look at the Patriots' first picks, guys like Mayo, McCurdy, Solder, Jones, Collins are solid contributors. Collins wasn't a first round
Collins
pick.
Collins wasn't a first round pick.
He was the top pick. In
almost
the draft.
A first round pick.
Granted, they drafted Chung and Maroney with their first picks also. No, Chung wasn't a first-round pick either.
No.
I think that the Patriots have been very good drafters, like Paul said.
He said very, very good.
Yeah, and he never lets me forget it.
But I think we're more critical of what they do after the first round.
Yeah,
a lot of times.
It's overall, but...
Well, but I need to come up with a formula. You know how I always say it's... Are you really comparing Bill to Matt Millen? Who couldn't have sucked anymore? Like, no, we're not saying he's inept, but if you compare him to good people who have long track records, how does it play out? You know what I mean?
I still think he comes out pretty good.
No, and he probably does. I think he's a pretty good drafter. But
I think he's a very, very good drafter.
Right? I don't think the 50-50 is right. I don't think necessarily that Bill Belichick, Kevin Colbert, Ozzie Newsome, Ted Thompson, I'm not sure they go 50-50. That's how they keep their jobs for 15 years.
The
50-50 balances
teams generally
out.
Hit on all their first round
right.
picks.
Right. Yeah. If you put the suck ass guys in the mix, then yes, it's 50-50.
Well, and I think the opposite, you could say, look at the bad teams and how often they screw up first round, and that's probably a consistent pattern.
Well, because more often than not, your old argument about the quarterback being more important, that the bad teams are in the market for quarterbacks, and then when they miss on the quarterback, it's huge.
Well, even Raiders, you know, getting guys like Hayward Bay in the first round.
Yep.
You know, they
yep.
just don't,
absolutely.
You know?
Wow.
Absolutely.
They waste picks.
Didn't see that coming from
no,
me.
No, I didn't either, but it's a great point. It's a great point.
Or you mentioned Matt Millen. How many years in a row did they get a receiver? You know?
Right. And the one time he hit on it, that story, did you see the one that came out recently from your guy, Florio?
Yeah.
That he told Al Davis not to draft Jamarcus Russell because he was a total dink. He checked his watch, wanted to leave the meeting. And had Al Davis not drafted Jamarcus Russell, apparently he would have drafted Calvin Johnson. So Millen wouldn't have had Calvin Johnson.
Oh, my God. Jason from Indiana writes in, I've been hearing different forms of this first question, and it inspired me to ask it to you. If the Crafts were to build a Mount Rushmore of Patriots, who would be on it? My second question is about a list of guys that I'm curious if you are interested. Well, the Crafts, Mount Rushmore, it starts with Tom Brady, John Hanna,
well, it starts with
Andre
Kraft.
Tippett.
I'd be like,
well, no, they
guys,
built
start,
the Crafts build
start
it.
Carving me out of that stone,
well, yeah.
baby.
But if the Crafts built it,
if they
it was
built
just,
it,
it would be Belichick, Brady, Hanna, and Tippett right now. Right?
Well, what are
you can limit it to four?
Well, but what are your qualifications?
I would put the
just
owner
players?
First.
No, I said if they built it, so they're not on it.
Well, yeah, but a coach is on it?
Yeah.
Okay, then you have to have Belichick and Brady. It'd be two.
Right.
Yeah.
Tippett.
Tippett.
Hanna, four. Sure, that's fine.
Yeah. I guess.
Who are you in?
Hanna.
The fact that a guard is on it is kind of rubbing me the wrong way, but I suppose.
He's one of the greatest guards in the history of football.
That's what happens when you have... When you have the
he
history,
think
that
any
have.
Position is valuable. No. He wouldn't trade two first-round picks for a franchise quarterback. So eliminate that. Opinion.
Oh, wait a minute. That's not the question that was posed.
How
to
does
me.
The ball move around this field in this game you play?
That's not the question that was posed to me. I would absolutely trade two first-round picks for Andrew Luck right now.
Right now,
absolutely
right.
for
but,
a franchise quarterback. I would trade two first-round picks. I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback coming out of college.
But everybody knew he was.
and everyone happened to be right about this one.
No, I don't think people say the same things about him and Peyton Manning as they do Joe Average, you know,
I think James a lot of
Winston
guys,
or
I think
Sam
a lot
Bradford
of guys,
or
I think a lot
Alex
of guys
Smith.
Thought Tim Couch was a franchise quarterback.
See, I don't know. I don't remember that closely enough.
I don't
remember people saying Tim Couch is the best quarterback in 25 years.
I'm not
because that's
look
what they
at.
Said
a lot of people
about.
Thought, well, a lot of people, to his point, a lot of people thought Ryan Leaf was. A lot of people thought Rick Meyer was.
And I'm not even taking into consideration guys like Jamarcus Russell, who a lot of people didn't think was.
But I don't think people said that about Meyer or Bledsoe or.
Oh, yes, they
of course
did.
They did.
See, well, they all thought there
was
they were
it was the huge debate between Bledsoe and Meyer.
No, franchise quarterbacks, but Luck was. The best quarterback in 25 years or 30 years or that I've ever done pre-draft work on or, I mean, there are guys
yeah,
that
they
are,
called him a generational
and I think Peyton Manning was that too. And Elway was one of those, like, guys that just.
Yep.
So I don't think those are the same as every other quarterback who goes in the top five
right.
or the top two.
All right,
or
so let's
RG3
say so let's just say that Andrew Luck would be the exception and you would do that. But, I mean, to Fred's question that he asked me, would I ever – trade two first-round picks for a guy I never saw play, no, I don't think I would. Maybe Andrew Luck is an exception. Maybe he was so good coming out of college that I would have to
All right,
do
quickly,
it.
I want to finish up Jason's email. Then Anna is today's lunch buyer. We're going to eat, and then we're going to talk to her because she's on the phone. But quickly, are you interested in any of these guys? Charles Tillman.
A little long on the tooth,
yeah.
But a terrific player.
Lance Briggs.
Not really.
Not
I
no
thought
more.
He retired. No,
I thought he did too.
Yeah,
AJ Hawk, who just got released.
He is a middling player.
Not
to,
a bad possibility yeah. for he, the Hightower
yeah,
insurance.
Yeah, certainly way above Dane Fletcher on the ability to play.
Jacoby Jones, we talked yep. about, and finally Darren McFadden.
No.
Not a bad possibility, yeah. though. Again, a good talent that you could probably get at the right stage, the Belichick stage, where you got that. I got the talent, and now I don't have to pay for it, and I can plug him in. And he's one of those guys that can do all the third down things,
that's right.
too.
I don't poo-poo him.
I nope. kinda, yeah. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo's on Days of Their Lives. I'm only kidding.
Days of Their Lives.
Right.
He doesn't even do it on purpose. It's so funny.
Let's take a break. We're going to eat the fine food that Anna bought for us, and then we're going to talk to Anna when we come back.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Scott Zolak, sit down with Tom Brady. Did you see what came out of that? An answer to our Brian Stork pooping his pants problem.
Oh, yeah?
It's a wetness issue. He said that Stork, he sweats a lot, and I had to tell him, listen, my hands are down there a lot. I need you to take care of it and try to dry it. And there's no doubt in my mind that's what I witnessed. And then he was wiping his ass, and there's no doubt in my mind that's when Brady was yelling at him for, you got to keep it drier down there. Do whatever you need to do.
He's kidding.
A butt sweater.
I'm not kidding. Maybe he should wear Depends. No, and this is no joke, but that would solve it, right? These are made to absorb wetness.
Yeah, but once you wet them, aren't you supposed to change them? You know when, like, little kids are walking around and it's like dragging on the ground because it's so wet and soggy?
That's a load in their pants.
We've been joking that he might have pooped his pants. He didn't poop his pants. He just has a butt sweating problem.
Okay, well, we've cleared that up.
Right.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
I like when we are open. When we screw up, we tell you we screwed up. He didn't poop his pants. He has a sweating butt.
He has a moisture problem down there.
Right. And who doesn't? Everybody gets swamped ass.
Sure. All right, I guess, is that the end of that bit? Okay, good. That's a new one.
It's amazing Brian Stork doesn't like to talk to me.
I like Andy. We thought he pooped his pants. No one likes to talk to Andy.
We didn't think he pooped his pants. You did.
Well, you probably weren't even paying attention.
Back here in PFW in progress, web radio at patriots.com. It's the email address, 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Swampy.
Thanks for holding on while we ate our lunch. And lunch today was provided by Anna. And Anna's on the phone right now. Hi, Anna. Thanks for the lunch.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
That was excellent. Thank you.
Well, what did we have for lunch?
I had a buffalo chicken wrap. I
had a turkey sandwich.
And I had an Italian.
I had a chicken salad.
Yep.
It was yummy.
And cookies.
Good cookies.
I actually specified extra cookies with Kevin. I hope he followed through.
They did. It looks like they did give us extra cookies.
They're macadamia white chocolate cookies.
And
quite
kind.
Oh, that's good.
And they cooked them properly today. We have some issues. Sometimes they're too undercooked. Sometimes they're too overcooked. Today they're like the porridge. It's just right.
Really? Is there a just right? I feel like everybody likes it one way or the other, raw or crispy.
Yeah, well, some of them are a little bit too raw, but some of the people in here like that. Some
like
of them
raw.
Are a little overcooked, and some of the people here like that too.
I'm very particular there. Like some of my chocolate chip cookies, if it's a certain kind, I like them crispy.
Mm-hmm. Like Chips Ahoy?
No, not that.
No.
You know, not the over the counter. I'm talking about baked stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't like them crispy.
No.
I like soft, moist.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Well, they go in moist.
Yes. Yeah. So how's life in Bronco Land?
Okay. So I had a story I was prepping for you guys while I was on hold, but I got so distracted by the repeat of the commercials. I feel like it's Groundhog Day in there. I know you guys don't listen to it, but it's the same freaking commercial.
You know, you're not the first person who's been complaining lately about our commercials. Some of them need to be updated.
Well, the ones that specifically talk about our wins need to be updated. But I'm actually really surprised about it because in this day and age, your commercials are virtually the only commercials I hear because I fast forward through or stream or skip, you know, other commercials. And you guys have a really big following, so shouldn't more people be beating down your doors to have me listen to them over and over?
Yeah, and
yes.
more people should be advertising.
And more people should be selling the advertising.
Right.
That's the problem.
More importantly. And the on-air people should be making more money.
And my Gillette razor, and my, like, I'm all set, guys. My Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Yeah.
Okay, so should I tell you my Denver story?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So the whole time I've been moving here, I've been trying to figure out if I think it can feel like home. And one of the things that has, like, alternatively creeped me out / made me feel like home is that right across the street from my house is this pickup truck that has never moved.
Oh.
So at first I was like, this is vintage and cool. And then I was like, this is actually sort of creepy. And then there was reason to think it was creepy. And I've come around and about on it. And it's finally started snowing, which makes it feel more like New England. and I can confirm that it doesn't move because the snow on it has not moved, right?
Mm-hmm.
So last night, I'm out at a party, and a friend drives me home who happens to be like a crazy Broncos fan, which is not unusual here. And as he drops me off, he rolls down his window, and he screams out at me, "I know it's polite to wait until the person gets into the house, but you're a bleeping Patriots fan, so bleep off." And I'm like, huh. And I turn, and I'm like, I look back at him trying to come up with something witty to say, and the window rolls down on the pickup, and someone yells out of that pickup, and it says, "Bleep off." Like, the guy screams at me. I haven't seen him in the 6 months I've lived here, and wow. I'm looking at the pickup like, oh, God.
Is he living, yeah. Is he living in the pickup truck?
I don't know. Now I have to investigate.
That's
more.
Weird. She quickly ran inside after that.
That's wow. Weird.
Exactly. I didn't stick it out last night.
That's that is weird.
Yeah.
It's like a stakeout. Somebody's been eyeing you.
Trying to take down the lone Patriots fan right. In Broncos country.
Jeez.
There's more.
Lock your doors at night.
Yeah, seriously.
Go look. Noel will help you, right? Noel and, and Ann Stone.
Yeah, there's a lot of Patriots fans.
Ann, Anna, Ann. Yeah. There's a couple of Anns.
Yeah. Just hook up with those. Where in Colorado are you? Are you in Denver?
I'm in Denver. She's okay. In Colorado Springs. Right. I drove down twice to watch with them, and they, just like you can tell from her interviews, they put on quite a spread.
It's
really incredible. But I'm too lazy to go down there every week.
Pike Pete's Pack Club, whatever it is.
It's easy for you to say.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Pike Pete's Pack Club.
How far is that?
You get a P at the end. Huh? Yeah. It's just an hour.
Oh. Yeah. I drive an hour to work every day. Get your ass down there and watch a game.
Well, I need to sit and stake out the pickup. I don't have time for that.
That's true.
All right, Anna. Hey, thanks for the lunch. And,
yes,
fantastic,
really
appreciate
Anna.
It. Next time you're in town,
let
us
know.
Be
careful around that pickup truck.
Okay, bye, guys.
All right.
That would freak me out, too.
Absolutely.
Like, if I'm already a little bit weirded out by the truck, and I notice it, and it's a part, and then all of a sudden the window rolls down and somebody yells, I'm like, I would freak out.
Call the police.
But for what? I mean, like.
Well,
there's a car parked across the street.
Well,
it hasn't moved.
Yeah,
it hasn't moved.
It out.
That.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they
knock
would come
on the window.
They would come and check that out.
Sure,
there's mm-hmm. those different things can, all kinds of things would pop through my mind. Like, is it something like is it some sort of law enforcement? Is it
right.
some sort
yeah,
of sting?
A real stakeout? Yeah,
and they're really setting staking something out. All kinds of bad things can happen. You never know.
Sure. Like that joke people used to do by naming their Wi-Fi like. FBI van outside or something to like screw other people
my
up.
Parents actually had there was like a strange car in the neighborhood parked like just like up the street from where they live, and it was there for several hours, and they noticed it, and then it came back the next day, and then they called the police and were like reported that, and the police came by to check it out. It was actually like an undercover sting operation, but they found out after the fact because then stuff went down and
were they stinging?
Whatever. Some guy that lived like a block away.
Mob?
No, but just
prostitution?
Like no.
Drugs?
It's always drugs. It might have been that.
Oh, drugs.
It's always that. Drugs. There was a truck on my street when I was growing up that was there for a while, and it was drugs. But the truck was, it wasn't an undercover. That they were
selling drugs out the truck?
Yeah.
Well, we used to have them all the time when I lived in Boston. My friend's brother-in-law worked for the Boston police. He was a detective. And he would tell us when, you know, if you see a bunch of guys walking around in caps, you know, they're all part of this thing that's going down tomorrow.
Yeah, the cops used to give us a heads up on stuff when we were a little bit older, like in our 20s.
Yeah.
They'd say, hey, make sure you stay away from so-and-so because they're going to be hitting them soon.
Yeah, the building next to us, they were selling heroin. Who knew? And they
Who
one
knew?
Day they just, like, swarmed. And we were, like, looking out the window watching this all go down. It was pretty interesting. Let's see. Akil from Brooklyn writes in about the Falk contract. He said it was 6 years, $15 million. Credit goes to Miguel since I got it from his page. And now for some emailer on reporter crime.
Uh-oh.
Robert Klemko of Monday Morning Quarterback is a clown. You go to the combine, and this is what you come back with. Last topic, best nugget you took away from the combine. Klemko says, everybody hates the Patriots, not just media, coaches, players, and agents, too. So many people were delighted to see Belichick slammed in Deflategate, no matter how silly it was and remains. That was the biggest nugget he took from the combine. And Akil doesn't like that. So.
Yeah. So are all those people.
That guy's a little weird. I've never met him, but I'm not sure how I feel about that Klemko guy.
Well, he had a pretty good scandal that he got suspended for in the middle of the season. Like he beat the crap out of some cab driver or something.
Yeah.
And he also, wasn't he involved with Ferguson, too?
I believe so.
Didn't he get arrested and he was popping off? And
Klemko, really?
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about him.
I'm pretty sure Peter King suspended him in the middle of the season.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I also...
He's an MMQB guy, right?
Yeah.
I would like to know, and this... Everybody hates the Patriots. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Does that mean, like, the three coaches and two agents you talk to hate him?
Well, I think a lot of people like to see us get knocked down because we're on top.
Yeah, you know? No, I have no doubt about that. But I'm, to Andy's point, did you talk to, like, every other team's coaches, administrators, scouts, all right. the players, all the agents, and they all kind of, or, you know, like, 70-80% of them sort of indicated they hated the Patriots? Or right. did you talk to, like, four or five people and they're like, oh, man, I wish the Patriots lost that Super Bowl. I can't stand them.
Do you believe that of the 31 other head coaches, a majority hate the Patriots
yes.
and Bill Belichick?
Yes.
See, I don't.
I don't either.
I think there is some from some of them. Not,
I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. But that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
He said everybody.
Yeah, not everybody.
You said some. I asked you about a majority.
Like if Brad Childress was still a head coach in the league, I think Brad Childress hates Bill Belichick. Like, I don't think Rex Ryan hates Bill
clearly,
Belichick.
Yeah, clearly Rex and Bill aren't
So how many hate
enemies?
I don't think John Harbaugh hates Bill Belichick.
Didn't seem like Pete hates him.
Yeah, I know Pete's, for a fact Pete doesn't hate
Pete's
him.
Pete's actually saying, you guys need to listen to him more. He said I shouldn't be criticized.
Well, he spoke up for him. You know.
No, I know, but even before that, all week we realized they really like each other. They respect each other.
That was a love fest. That Friday press conference when they had the dual press conference, that was a love fest.
So does John Harbaugh hate him? Because he certainly didn't used to hate him. Now maybe there's a new – but
and I, don't
I feel like I'm coming up with a pretty good list of people that don't hate him, and you're telling me everybody hates him.
Right.
So you're being inaccurate.
Yep. Andy Reid doesn't hate him.
Andy Reid doesn't hate him. They make trades for poops and giggles. So – yeah,
now,
Klemko, that's wrong. It's not right. That is inaccurate.
Now, maybe Chuck Pagano hates him.
But I don't know if he does or doesn't.
I don't. That's why I said maybe.
And there's like this new age group, right? Does Dan Quinn hate him? Probably not, because Pete doesn't hate him. He doesn't have the opportunity yet to hate him on that level.
And probably not because, you know, he might be taking his cues from Dimitrov now. And, you know, obviously Dimitrov doesn't hate him.
So I feel like it's hard for you to prove to me that a majority of NFL coaches, I'm just going to stick with coaches because it's easier to look at that group of 31.
Right.
I don't think a majority of them hate Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
And your point, Fred, is, I think there's probably a ton of professional jealousy and the fact that they win all the time. Yeah, there's some animosity there, but hatred. Like, I hate the Patriots.
Right.
I'm not sure there's as much as what – he's probably trying to.
And does an agent hate them or hate dealing with them?
Yeah.
Son of a bitches, they do it.
I don't want them to get my clients because they always, you know, they're really hard.
And that's not the same as hating them.
I would like to know what they think, though, of Bill and Sean Payton not being part of the Coaches Association, like the only two, and why they aren't. What's their reasoning for not being part of that association?
I don't know. Now,
that's a legitimate question.
And also, if you want to take this to I think Klemko's better point would have been if he would have talked about league, like the actual NFL offices.
I
think they hate Bill.
Oh. Geniuses at the league.
You know, I would too because he points out how stupid they are. You know, that's why I hate Andy.
They both hate each other. You know, I think there's a lot of hatred going on both sides there. I think Bill has no use for those people, and they have no use for him. And that, you know. To your point, to Fred's point about Sean Payton and Bill were the only two that didn't speak. Well, I think there was only three teams. Did we figure it out, Andy? Three teams didn't have any representatives.
Eagles, Saints, Patriots.
The league puts on this combine, and everybody goes to it, and there was over 1,000 credentials this year, the most ever media credentials in.
1,000?
1,070-something.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Where'd they fit everybody?
The room's getting too small, no question. But the Patriots can't. Just play along, you know, like that kind of stuff. I get. I mean, they probably hate him for that, and I know that Bill hates them for what they did in that Deflategate. That infuriated Bill and Robert, and rightly so.
I don't know if I was talking to you guys about it or somebody else, but they were playing some of the national news the week before the Super Bowl. Scott Pelley, average of 23 million people a night watch the CBS News. Did Tom Brady cheat his way to the Super Bowl? That was the lead story on the CBS News.
Right.
You can't take that back.
No, but
you can't take that back.
I've been struggling with this a little bit because I know it's a major bone of contention with our organization and with Mr. Kraft that
Their reputation has been sullied. They've been dragged through the mud. Where did the NFL screw up?
The leaks. The leaks.
I agree, but when did, like, because to me, the Colts had an issue the Tuesday before, if you believe Gregson, or at the very least on game day, had an issue. Somehow, what's his name? Found out.
Kensel.
No, Kravitz, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kravitz broke it.
Oh,
yeah. He's a Colts reporter. Not hard to fathom that a guy who's been around that team for as long as he has would have a source that would say, hey, listen, we had a little issue and they're investigating. The investigation was true. The next morning, the NFL confirms the investigation is taking place. Right? All that's okay, right?
Am I sure? Vince said it'll be done in 2 or 3 days.
Right. All that was okay, though, right? Like, I know Kravitz takes a lot of brunt here. He reported something that was completely 100%, 1,000% true.
Right. Accurate.
Right.
His report was accurate.
Right. So, at what point? Is it the 11 of 12 football, the Mortensen? Is that when it jumped ship and now you got leaks and problems?
Well, it starts with what Paul said, too. Two, 3 days, it'll be over with. Well, now it's going on a month.
It's the leaks and the nature of what the investigation. The league knows what the protocol is for footballs, and they know what happened during that game. And so somebody needed to step in and say, look, you might think that they were underinflated, but there's no way we're going to prove this. So, you know.
When did the Mortensen story come out?
It was the day after. Later. It was Monday morning.
I don't think it was that fast.
Yes, it was. Because I remember going to work that Monday morning, and Dennis and Callahan were talking about it.
I think you might be right.
Absolutely. It was the next
morning. The Mortensen story?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
The next morning.
I don't think that's accurate.
If that is accurate, then now I'm back on board.
It was the next morning.
Because
the Sunday, it happened Sunday night, and you're saying on Monday morning?
Yep.
Mortensen's report came out?
Absolutely.
I don't think that's right, Fred.
That 11 of 12 balls were underinflated?
Yeah. Because okay. I remember listening to it on Dennis and Callahan.
Because I thought
they were talking about the Kravitz story. That
right.
Came
I
out,
thought
that
it was Kravitz.
Out,
yeah.
11 of 12 wasn't the next morning.
No.
I don't
and
think
somebody
that was that
confirmed
fast.
With the NFL that that it was taking place.
It was a couple days
the next
later.
Morning.
It was later in the week.
Yeah,
was,
that's what yeah, I thought. And that's where the timeline I find a little. Because Bill is talking about, you know, the time he wasted and had to expend on all of this stuff.
Right, but even that, even whether it was the next morning or 3 days later or whatever, that leak was inaccurate or was incomplete.
Uh-oh.
It was incomplete. So, I mean, the league with the leaks made things ten times worse.
Well, we don't know
worse.
Yet, right?
10 times worse.
We don't know.
Yeah, like
who's full of poo?
Like the leaked Rapoport.
Right.
They
got
to stop that.
Right. They have to stop. And, that
and we don't know whether the truth is one, the other, or the middle.
Because if Kravitz's report had come out, which we all agree was accurate.
Right.
There was a complaint. There was an investigation. If it had dropped there until people
right.
would have forgotten
as
about it.
As it should have.
Until some conclusion came, right?
Yeah.
But
yes.
These leaks kept it going and made it worse. And I'm telling you, I blame the league on this. I don't really blame the Colts.
Oh, I don't either.
And I don't blame Kravitz.
Yeah. The only way I would blame the Colts is your theory that we talked about right after the Super Bowl. If the Colts actually had
something to
nefarious
do with it.
Oh, well, then,
dealing
now,
with this.
That blows the top off.
Otherwise, yeah. I have no problem with the Colts.
I can't blame them for something I don't know is true yet. If that happens,
no, but if that
I'll hate them more than the Jets.
I stand by what I said. If that happens, if they did something to the balls, and that's the reason why they were underinflated, I'm telling you, James Ursay should lose the team, and Chuck Pagano should never coach again.
Yeah.
And Gregson should be out, too.
Right.
The whole lot of them.
But
that's unbelievable. That to me
Well, that's how I look at it. Unbelievable. Yeah. Literally unbelievable. I can't believe
it. If they had a play in it in terms of trying to not only we're going to accuse them of cheating, which is that's fine. You thought they cheated, but if you try to set them up,
right.
and you actually did the cheating.
But that, absolutely. I mean, that makes no sense, especially with Gregson now on the record saying he filed his complaint as of Tuesday, I believe.
Right.
The week before. So, well, you filed the complaint and then you underinflated. Now you're just an idiot.
But see, that's another thing. If he did, in fact, do that, if he filed the complaint, shouldn't someone from the league have called the Patriots and said, and maybe they did, I don't know, I haven't heard this, but shouldn't they have said, hey, look, we have a complaint. About under, you know, balls that are underinflated.
Well, Fred, we know they didn't.
But why?
We know they didn't. And
why?
Yeah.
It's because it's the league isn't set up to catch somebody. It's to enforce rules. So if they have a complaint that the Patriots are breaking
rules. Here's where I'm going to go with Andy's thing. If they knew about it beforehand and then they still didn't check the balls properly, if Walt Anderson didn't use a gauge and check the balls properly, then I'm like, what the hell is the NFL doing?
Well, but even.
But I don't understand why. I mean, if the coach goes to the referee before the game and says, hey, listen, you know, we're watching a lot of film on this, you know, 77, he holds every time. I don't think that the referee needs to go over to the other team and say, listen,
no,
they really watching 77. They don't.
That, I don't think that's a fair comparison.
I don't think there's any responsibility on the league's part to go and tell the other team what one team is complaining about.
I do. I think whether it's, you know, filming on the sideline or under, if you have a complaint before the game, the week before the game, you know, or days before of somebody complaining, I think the league should pick up the phone and say to the team, hey, if you're doing it, knock it off. Because
otherwise, you think it's a sting operation. It's,
yeah, they're to enforce the rule, not to entrap people.
Right. But Fred, we also know for a fact that the league didn't inform the Patriots, because Bill Belichick said very clearly several times, the first I heard of it was right. the Monday morning.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they told.
Well, he could be talking about the investigation.
Yeah, no, but I don't think that the league told him. I don't think that
he's lying.
Yeah,
no,
that's called a lie.
If the first he heard of it was Monday morning,
yeah.
and he heard of it on Wednesday, then he heard of it.
If somebody called the team, it would have gotten to Bill beforehand.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's the team's responsibility to follow the protocols and the rules. I don't think that you need to, hey, listen, they put a complaint. I don't really think this whole sting thing, I don't get. I don't think it's the league's responsibility to make sure the other team is following the rules. You do the protocol, and if Walt Anderson didn't actually – this is Andy's thing. Andy believes that they check him, you know,
right.
by feel. And if that's what they did after there was a complaint
right.
filed, that's ridiculous. Again, I'm with you, Fred. The league has screwed this up in every single turn.
And also, even if you look at the one statement that the league produced during this whole thing where they said that, yeah, at halftime we checked the balls, the Patriots were underinflated, and the Colts one came within – the rules, but they never said.
Did the league put that out?
No, yeah. The league didn't put that out.
I don't think
report.
The league put that
well,
out.
You're confusing.
I think that's another report.
Yeah, that's a report.
Well, I mean, even then,
it's a damning report.
You don't know where the Colts ball started as compared to where
right.
the Patriots ball started. The Patriots could have started at 12.5 and deflated. Colts could have started 13.5, deflated, and still was within the parameters. So even that, if you don't know where the ball started, how do
right.
you?
But they should
right.
know. Yeah, they should know where the ball started.
But if it,
not if you do it with your thumb.
No, and that's the whole point.
Yeah, my point that if they did that after Ryan Grigson filed a complaint, then again, it's another example where you're right. The league has just screwed this up so badly. That's why I believe that they actually did use a gauge, because this was brought to their attention beforehand. But the whole 12.5, 13.5. I don't know what's true. I don't know where the balls were, because there's been so many different reports that have the balls at being so many different levels. I don't know what the truth is. But if one deflated from 13.5 and it stayed in the range, then the one started at 12.5 would be close enough to the range, like the Rappaport leak from the NFL indicated. They were close.
Well, they could have been anywhere from 0.1 to 1. You know, I don't know. He said
the Rappaport leak indicated that the balls were all close.
Some were a few ticks under.
The Mortensen leak indicated they weren't close.
In the Rappaport leak, he said there was one that was 1 pound PSI below. And
right. The Mortensen one said that they were all 2 pounds below, except for one. 11 out of the 12
right.
were well below the standard. That doesn't matter if it started at 13.5 or 12.5. They weren't ever in the range if the Colts balls were all okay.
Right.
But again, it depends on which leak you believe. They leaked something to Rappaport that was different than they leaked something to Mortensen.
I have a question. So the Patriots have no idea what's happened in terms of the investigation, correct?
Right. Okay. See, my fear is this. Wells is hired by the league. He's probably going to the thing that comes out from this investigation is probably going to be something that, you know, we need to change the protocol, and, you know, it was inconclusive, and let's move on. We'll change the protocol right. and move on. But that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, we're sorry.
Well, but Ted Wells isn't going to do that for you.
But there's a couple of issues at hand.
But the league, right. from that report, the league isn't going to be forced to say they're sorry.
I don't expect them to. Because it's a separate issue, in my opinion.
Do you think?
One is an issue of the treatment of footballs and the investigation of the treatment of footballs. The other is the way you run your league in terms of leaks.
Right.
To me, those are separate issues.
Yeah, I agree. Right.
There's a different issue between Walt Anderson testing the ball, knowing what the ball tested, knowing what it tested, blah, blah, blah,
knowing
blah, blah, all the way
did
down the line.
To deflate
That's
them.
A game day, game operations issue.
Right.
The other thing is a league issue. Is a leaks issue, yeah, is a
management.
It's front
it's
office.
A management
is Roger Goodell should hang.
That's
kind
what
of
they
issue.
Need to apologize for.
Right.
Is what happened.
But that's not in the Wells report. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no. Nothing that the Wells report says is going to have an
like,
impact.
Like, is Wells
on that?
Supposed to be investigating who the source was for Chris Mortensen?
I think he should.
Oh,
no,
I'm not
well,
sure.
I don't think that's what he was hired for.
He's investigating
for.
Whether or not there was something
right.
done to the football.
That's a separate issue,
that's
I think.
That's the only thing.
And that's the issue where the NFL is most negligent. They're probably negligent in both, but is the way the inner workings of the league is going on. But I don't think that's a Wells issue. I really don't.
Do you think there's any chance that Wells is going to be able to figure out that the Patriots did something definitively to the balls?
I can't see that.
Probably no, right?
Yeah, probably
so
not.
There's also no chance that he's going to be able to figure out definitively that it didn't happen. It's probably
right,
going to be...
Right, but I said it's going to be inconclusive.
So you're not going to
get
it.
Shouldn't there be a chance? I mean,
I know
I've beaten
chance.
This drum
yes.
to
no,
a...
There's always a chance.
Like... As I said, I thought at 4 a.m. on the Monday morning it should have been solved. Here's what the balls all measured and recorded pregame. Here's what they all measured. All the Colts balls are fine and the same. All the Patriots balls aren't.
Yeah, but
something happened to those balls, right?
Right.
Shouldn't it be very basic math and comparing two columns of numbers?
Wait, yes.
If they had done that.
Right.
No. But that to me is irrelevant because we've already gone. The Patriots are saying that they didn't do anything to the footballs and it was natural causes. So, who knows? Like, to Fred's point...
No, but I don't care what you say.
But maybe
if I measured the balls, and I have all my ducks in order...
And they all started in line, and the Patriots ended up... Where's the proof that the Patriots did something to the balls?
Doesn't matter. You're guilty. I'm sorry. You're responsible for your balls.
That's not going to happen.
No, but it's very simple.
No, but
I have the balls, and you have the balls.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I get what you're saying. I understand
that. So it's very simple. No, you're guilty.
Yeah,
but it's not a court of law where there's a death penalty on where without a shadow of a doubt.
There's no way.
Well, I have a big shadow of doubt.
Hang on, because like Fred said, if let's say all the Colts balls were at 13.5 and all the Patriots balls were at 12.5. If the Colts balls, if they all diminished at the same rate, let's say it was half a tick, the Colts balls are still within the acceptable range. The Patriots aren't anymore. So now all of a sudden you've got, you know, all of your footballs are under the
That's my point. It's like plausible deniability.
So no one would accuse you of anything. All the balls, because of the weather conditions, went down a
half a tick. But in order to make that determination, you would have had to use a pressure gauge and record it, all the balls before the game.
Correct.
Right.
There is not a shred
of impropriety. I don't care about the documenting, but as long as they used a pressure gauge to say that they were in the range, I don't care.
Oh, I do.
But I don't care.
I want to know the changes.
Yeah, I don't care what they were, but I need to see someone. In order for me to ever believe that the Patriots did something to the balls, they're going to have to prove to me that somebody did something to the ball. Not just that it wasn't in the range.
I agree.
It wasn't in the range. I have absolutely no idea why it wasn't in the range, said Bill Belichick.
Uh-huh.
And I have no problem with that. It's
now
plausible
I go back
deniability.
Now I go back to Goodell. Ignorance is not an excuse. There's two people that maintain these balls, us and you. And I know for a fact my guys didn't let any air out of those balls.
How?
Excuse me?
How do you know for a fact your guys didn't do anything to them?
Well, I have the trust. I mean, I have to trust
why
don't you trust Belichick?
Because my job is to over... If you don't trust the officials, then you have no league. I'll get back to that. If
one
you
of
think
your
the league
guys
is...
Don't get me back in Dallas-Detroit. Don't get me back to Dallas-Detroit.
Okay, so I am to believe that an official was letting air out of Patriots balls.
I don't know, but...
Why in God's name would that even... There's no money to be made, right? What? Why? Give me an actual.
Well,
if you're going to go down the island of ridiculousness, then tell me why an official would let air out of balls.
How do you know it wasn't a Colts person?
Because the balls were either
ball.
With an official
or the
with Patriot the Patriots.
No, I'm talking about by halftime. By halftime,
the Colts don't have access to the Patriots football.
They're either with the official.
The only time they did was that
or
one.
The Patriots.
That's right. That one.
That one was
they
intercepted.
Stole. Yeah, they took it.
But all the other ones
were only the small amount.
The
Deshaun Jackson interception?
Yeah, that guy put it back in circulation when he heard that there was problems with a missing ball. And for a while, this McCallum
guy... No, that was the kicker ball.
The K ball, right.
From the...
Yeah, but that's not
the criminal
ball.
Official.
That whole thing is too... totally.
Yeah.
That has
that's
nothing to do with
two different ones. Yeah, that's two different issues.
I'm just saying...
That was another ridiculous ESPN report.
There's no more reason to have mistrust of Belichick than you do of anybody that was on those sidelines. And the fact of the matter is one of your employees got fired.
I better stop talking.
One of your employees got fired for, misusing balls.
I mean, are you being serious right now?
Why would you mistrust Belichick any more than anyone else on the sidelines?
Did you sleep? I mean, I don't want to get in trouble here, but Spygate.
Yeah, what?
Now, whatever he believes, he is convicted at a high level by the league of breaking rules.
And listen, that you know what? Once the Patriots are exonerated for this,
we're going to go back and we're going to get Spygate exoneration.
I want to revisit that.
And we're going to get New Hampshire. And we're going to get Iowa.
I want to revisit that and talk about what it really was and what a mountain out of a molehill. The league made that.
That may be. That may be accurate, but it doesn't matter. In the league's perspective,
a lot of mountains out of molehills,
you're a convicted rule breaker. So now for you to just flippantly say the officials let the air out of the ball, I think is borderline ridiculous. Almost as laughable as saying the Colts did it. Right? So I get back to the very simple thing. If you had your ducks in a row, this investigation would never have taken more than an hour.
That's true.
So that is my bottom line. It has been my bottom line from day one, and it continues to be my bottom
line. And that's my whole point about there's no possible way they're ever going to be able to prove that the Patriots did something.
Well, see, I don't need the proof.
I do.
I don't need the proof at all. If I know that only two people control these balls, and I know all the air pressure, pre, post, middle, then I don't need to. I don't need the smoking gun. I'm not Aaron Hernandez trial here. I am someone who knows something smells, and I'm blaming you because they're your balls, and you're the one who would potentially get an advantage from it. So I'm sorry, you're guilty. Unless you can prove to me that you are 100% not guilty, you're guilty by all this lump load of circumstantial evidence.
If the Colts balls were smaller than they started with, and the Patriots balls were smaller than they started with, do you need proof? That they let the air out of the ball?
No, if they both went down the same, no. Okay. If they start at 13-5 and 12-5, and the Colts' balls went down 0.5, and the Patriots' balls went down 0.5, and all the balls are the same, then we get into, evidence of any improprieties here. We may need to readdress our inflation procedures in the offseason.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't feel like there's any way that they can possibly prove. And I need proof. If you're gonna tell me that I cheated, I need you to prove.
If the Mortensen report, for example, if there's a report, if all the Colts balls started at the high end, we'll just say high end, 13-5, and all were at within that range. And by the way, one of the reports said the Colts balls had not changed.
Right.
Which is another piece of evidence.
Right.
That to me is proof.
But see, that to me that's not proof. The proof all lies in an Excel spreadsheet for me. I don't need Wells. I could have any geek compare the numbers and
It's not proof to you if one team's balls
that means
didn't
natural
change
causes
and
didn't have anything
did.
To do with it.
Not the way he's talking. I'm saying it's proof no matter what. The numbers tell me the answer. He's saying he needs essentially the smoking gun proving the Patriots deflated their balls. You know, you brought up the officials. Maybe the officials did it.
That would be proof, though.
See, I don't think that's proof. It's proof in my court, but not what I thought you were looking for.
It would be proof.
I thought you wanted a picture of a guy with a needle going. Psst, psst, psst.
Well, it'd be proof that something happened to the Patriots balls that did not happen to the Colts.
Yes,
balls.
And that wouldn't be atmospherics because they would all have been
the same. That didn't have anything to do with weather.
But in your old world, I don't know.
Balls in the first half.
What did you say?
He said the Colts didn't use.
See, I don't see that any different. To me, they're the same. The Colts kept theirs accidentally. Theirs on the ground, and the turf was actually 3 degrees colder than the bench where the Patriots. If you want to muddy the water, I think you can muddy the water. But to me, that's just low level public defender trying to pull some crap.
Yeah,
the numbers to me explain
the
everything.
I mean, I just don't have any real interest in this story. I just don't.
Right. I don't either, and it gets back to my thing.
I know you don't.
11.5 to 15.5 or whatever the big range is, so that Aaron Rodgers can get his balls as hard as he wants, Brady can have his balls as soft as he wants, and I can stop talking about balls.
We've talked
putting
about
the accent
this
on the B so hard.
And we've talked about this off the air enough. I know we all four agree, and it's just such a tiresome
story. Wait for the Wells report to come out, and just so we can be done with it.
Great reading, huh?
Yeah. I'm just worried about our Super Bowl rings when we vacate the title.
I can't wait for the Wells report to come out.
Just get
someone else to tell me what
run.
It said.
Let's try to rifle through some of these phone calls. Balarco's in L.A. Hey, Balarco.
Polo.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great.
I actually agreed with Paul regarding the whole Shane Vereen thing. Considering that running backs don't play for long in the NFL, he should go for the maximum dollar. And I just don't think that Vereen is irreplaceable. I'm pretty sure we can coach and replace him with some other guy. I actually wanted to ask you, what I asked you on Tuesday, what did you think of the running back from Boise? And what do you think of Deion Lewis, the guy we signed for a future contract.
Yeah, he's another one that you'll throw in the mix, but I would put him down on the list of
smaller than Eric.
But Jay Ajayi is not, you know, he's a guy.
I like to say Jay Ajayi.
We had a chance to talk to him. We haven't really had a chance to see him play or anything like that.
From the OJs.
We'll be getting him soon. We'll be getting the what did Matt say? For the
Yeah, we're good to go.
The footage, we're good to go.
The hard drive has arrived.
So we'll get a chance to take a peek and look at some of this stuff. And I know he is one of the guys that people have sort of penciled into that area. I would be surprised if the Patriots were interested in a guy from Boise State.
Let's go to Jamie in Houston.
One
hey,
of those
Jamie.
Pipeline schools.
All right, guys, permit me to go into my Icky Wood slash, I forget his name, but...
This is a Fred Kirsch-like delivery here. You bungled it.
Woo! Gonna get some cold cuts!
Exactly, Super Bowl 49. That's me, champion! Woo! Get some Super Bowl, get some cold cuts. Four-time Booker T! That's who the guy is, four-time champion.
Woo! There we go.
So, we were talking about a whole lot of New England balls there. And, you know, I'd like to switch it. I'd like to talk about, you know, NFL commissioners and staff prostates, and I hope they're softer than our ball. And, you know, from the walnuts to the marshmallows, and they have a wonderful time in treatment.
Jamie, what the hell are you talking about?
No idea what you're talking about.
I don't know anything about prostates.
All right. Thanks, Jamie. Let's go to Nick in Boston. Hey, Nick.
All right. Well, that's an interesting comment to follow up on. I'm not going to say anything remotely as ridiculous as that, but I was wondering.
We'll call ain't over yet.
Yeah.
I guess not. I was wondering what you guys thought about our chances of actually, you know, bringing Vereen back, and whether you think that, you know, that's going to happen. And if not, if it seems unlikely, given, you know, our other worries this offseason. I saw the other day that Detroit has released Reggie Bush. Do you think that would be – I mean, I know he's injury-prone, but do you think the Patriots would be at all interested in him?
Well, you missed the beginning of the show. We did talk about that. I don't know. I think the reason Detroit got rid of him is not money. I think they know some things about this pending situation, and for that reason, I don't think the Patriots would touch him right now.
Well, yeah, if that is in any way legitimate, then yeah, they won't touch him.
But if it's not, then I think there's a chance.
Yeah. Then it just comes down to value, because I think he's a good fit. But, you know, is he a good fit at $2 million? Is he a good – where's that fit? Is he better than Vereen? Is the continuity of Vereen compared to the money, does that matter?
I won't be stunned if either eventuality happens. If Vereen comes back, I'm not going to be totally surprised. But
yeah, let's do percentages. Vereen comes back, I say
– 40%.
58%.
I say 50.
Paul?
30%.
30%.
Okay.
I am the highest. I win.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah.
You were the weakest link.
I hope that he comes back, but I feel like, you know, Bush is someone who's somewhat similar in that he can, you know, catch out of the backfield a little bit.
Not a little bit. Bush is a better proven NFL talent when healthy than Shane Vereen is.
Certainly a better receiver.
Better receiver, better every down runner, better everything. Bigger guns, bigger history of girls.
The only thing he's not better at, though, is staying healthy, sort of.
Right. Suddenly Shane Vereen's a healthy guy because he's played one healthy season.
I think he's better at that, too.
That was Vereen's problem his first couple
you
of
years. You missold yourself. A lot of ridiculousness coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
I feel like Bush has been injured, like, you know, a majority of the seasons that he's played.
So is Vereen.
Yeah. Vereen has, too.
I think Reggie Bush is a rich man Shane Vereen, or however you want to term it. Now, the question is just the value. And the age.
Okay. He's literally a little bit rich man's shame.
If you were going to pay either one $3 million, you'd pay Reggie Bush.
I think the upside of Bush, as we've long said, is better.
Yeah.
Shane Vereen, before this year, played in 5 games, 13 games, and 8 games.
Yep.
This was the first time he ever stayed healthy.
What is Reggie Bush's? I'm going to go to the
Reggie Bush is constantly – I mean, he's right.
He's hurt a lot, too.
Bush is constantly hurt, but so is Vereen, and he's not as good.
And Reggie Bush not constantly hurt. I mean – constantly be hurt and have 1,000-yard seasons.
Let's go to Big Al. Hey, Big Al.
Hey, fellas. No truth to the rumor that Julian Edelman has possession of the Lindbergh baby. First of all, let's Let's squelch that one.
I don't know if that was a question.
Is
this random thoughts?
I know, seriously. What have people been?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's marijuana in the air.
Well, you know, we just approved in Georgia.
Good, Eric.
Marijuana. So if you guys are in driving through and you get sick or something, you know, help yourself.
Yeah.
Listen, what are we going to use do this franchise tag on? It's going to be on
McCourty,
Gostkowski, or McCourty, or what?
McCourty.
McCourty would seem to make the most sense.
And he even said something yesterday that don't worry about if they put the franchise.
Well, he said it would be the worst case scenario, but he also said
it's not that bad.
It's not that bad a deal.
Right.
You know,
he's
playing
the game.
He wants very, very badly to be back in New England. He said that at the Super Bowl. I mean, he talked like at length at the podium when he was talking after the game about this is the true NFL dynasty. This is where I want to be. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, he was really laying it on.
And I think, as John Schneider said, that goes out the window. If he hits free agency and somebody offers him $55 million with 30 guaranteed, whew.
Yeah.
And I am now a big fan of whatever team that was.
Let's make a new dynasty.
Right.
And just to Al, before you can finish it up, to add to what Andy's point is, this is why I think that he's going to get franchised if he doesn't sign a deal before then and doesn't look like he's going to. He is, I think, the only legitimate free agent safety available. And, Andy, you did safeties, a terrible crop of safeties
subpar
in the draft.
There is one guy potentially in the first round, one or two in the second. And then, I mean,
so
that's
if you're talking about
guys who might even be able to play coming in. You're talking about maybe two or three guys.
So if you let McCourty get to the open market on March 11th.
Gone.
He'll have suitors.
He's going to have a $55 million, to use Andy's example, offer to have to turn down if you want to get him back.
I mean, I'd be stunned. Well, you know, TJ Ward got whatever it was, $23 million, and was everybody. He's not going to be that. He's going to be on the end of Jairus Byrd, who gets
$9 million annually,
big money. So the only thing I didn't understand with McCourty's quotes talking about how, you know, it's not such a bad thing. That's a pretty good number for players now. It's always been a pretty good number. By nature of the franchise tag, it's always been a pretty good number. The question is, do you want $9 million guaranteed for 1 year or $21 million guaranteed or whatever for, you know what I mean? But it's always been an impressive number inherently by the average of the top five. They've tweaked it the
so
way they calculate.
Are you saying that because there's a drop off from McCourty to the second best available safety, there might be a competition that bids him up even higher than he would normally?
Yes,
I believe that.
If
yes.
he hit free agency, yes,
and
that's
I haven't done the analysis of it, but based on everything I'm reading, he is head and shoulders the best safety available.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That's why he'll be franchised.
Do you think that we can re-sign Steven then, that he won't wander off, that we'll be able to keep him? Because I like Steven.
I think he'll be back.
I'm optimistic about that, too.
Okay, good enough. Take care, fellas.
Paul, what's your take on the kicker? Can you always get a kicker?
I think you have a guy like Gostkowski. You make. I think it's pretty easy to keep him. I think that you don't let a guy that you know can get the job done, especially in this climate. Mm-hmm. You don't let him go. Yeah. But in general, Fred, I believe that the best 20 kickers in football, there's almost no difference. There's a handful of guys that just stink.
But there are a lot more better kickers now than there were 15, 20 years ago.
Everybody makes 87% of their
kicks. It's amazing.
You know,
I mean, it used to be like over 40 was iffy.
Yeah, right.
Now it's over 50.
Over 50
they're making them.
I know.
You know, it's crazy.
Right. I know.
Now, I do think when you are in the Northeast, you have to give it a little bit more thought than like Miami would.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you have to make sure you have a guy that can kick in this
in
this climate. And Steven can kick in this climate.
But he's already, was it 3.7 or something this year? Like,
He's the highest paid, one of the highest paid.
Yeah, I believe he's second behind Janikowski.
And you're going to have to make him probably the highest if you want.
So? The cap's going up X
million.
That's
what I said. Like, I don't think it's very
how
hard.
How different? He's basically going to get a cost of living increase, right?
Right. 3 years. Yeah. I mean,
basically. And it's going to go up similar to what the cap's going to go up in the 3 years that
he
plays.
Can you give him 3 years and $15 million?
I would guess it'll be like 4 and 16, probably a four-year deal. But
you know, 4 and 16.
I mean,
I would try
area,
to give him a little bit more than that.
He's going to get $4 million a year for the next 3 or 4 years. Whatever. Who cares?
I mean, the franchise is like 4.5,
something like.
Well,
that.
Well, his isn't a franchise.
Well, his would be
120. 120.
Yeah, right. So yeah, but it's not a league-based franchise.
But do you give him more annually than that?
No, you would get a little less than that, but with some guaranteed money, half of it. You know, he's getting $8 million guaranteed instead of $4 million guaranteed.
Right.
We're gonna rifle through some emails, except we're not rifling.
Then we're just gonna stop talking.
Nick says, in Wisconsin, why are people seriously talking about trading Jimmy G? Here are three facts, not opinion. One, quarterback is the most important position on the field. Two,
ding, 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 ding. Already have an opinion.
Jimmy G plays quarterback. That's true. And three, Jimmy
That's
G
a fact. That's a fact.
Has a Super Bowl ring for every year he's been in the league.
That's also a fact.
That's a fact. Well, not really a fact. He will have earned a Super Bowl ring. Doesn't have.
Yes, that's true.
Words have
right.
meaning.
It's true.
Robert Klemko, words have
true.
Meaning.
It's true. Good point.
That's just poor to me.
No, it's a good point.
No, he doesn't,
he doesn't have one yet.
Doesn't have it, right?
None of them have one.
Does
yet.
Leonard Myers have a Super Bowl ring?
I don't know, does he?
Wasn't he one of the ones that sold them? I don't know, one of those
oh.
guys.
Yeah.
Do you have to have it to have it?
Peanut butter
yes.
and jelly dance.
That's what I think.
Right.
You earned
You've
one.
Earned one, but do you actually have it?
Did my voice just do something weird?
Yeah.
Felt weird.
Yeah,
it did. It felt weird.
Marco says there are reports Hello. That with John Fox switching the Bears' defense from a 4-3 to a 3-4, that Jarren Allen, Willie Young, and Lamar Houston could be in danger of being let go because of their lack of a fit in a 3-4.
Jarren Allen.
Which
yeah.
one of those three Allen. Would you be interested in?
I know everybody wanted to kick dirt on Jarren Allen's mm-hmm. grave, but
not us.
I don't think most people understood. The man lost like 15 pounds and played with pneumonia for like half of last year and was a shell of himself, started to come on late in the year. I would take a chance on Jarren Allen.
Yep, me too.
Sam in Chicago, hey, guys, thanks
really
for the show. If for whatever reason you had 1 or 2 years left to live, what would you do?
Fred, what are you going to do?
Fred becomes an actual film star. Paul coaches Little League. Eric walks the earth petting the homeless cats.
First time he touched a pussy.
What a random see now. A lot of random
was
thoughts.
Ready.
Today.
He knew it was coming.
That was a random thought.
And what is Andy doing?
Yeah, how come I don't get to do anything?
I think people wish you were dead now.
I think everybody assumes you just keep doing what you do every day.
Right. It wouldn't matter. You'd be a jerk to the last, you know, breath.
Do you ever think about that? Like what? That song. Wasn't that a Chesney or Tim McGraw, Live Like You're Dying?
Live Like You're Dying?
I would go,
Tim McGraw.
You mean it was a country song about dying? I can't believe that.
But like, do you have like legitimate things you would do?
Well, I mean, the first thing was I wouldn't work anymore. I would enjoy every single moment not going to work.
But then you'd
what
sit home
you
and think about
work?
I'm dying.
No, I wouldn't sit at home. I'd be out doing things with all the money that I have.
Don't ask questions that you don't want the answer to, Kirsch.
Wait,
what did
I
you
like
say?
This show. To me, this show would get
say?
My
what
mind
really,
off of.
What if you really enjoyed work?
Oh yeah, that's a bad photo. But this show gets your mind off dying, wouldn't it? I mean, we've been proving it from listeners, and certainly...
Well, the sure has cured death.
Right. But, I mean, do you legitimately have something?
Cancer.
Like, if you went to your physical tomorrow and they said, I must have missed it last year, but
yep.
you got a month to live.
Yeah, I would come back here, clean up the office, and be out.
But now, would you just do things for enjoyment?
Yes.
Or would you do anything, you know, punching people in the face?
No.
Or do you
know? No. I'm not interested in hurting anybody else. I'm only interested in
I would keep working because if I stop working, I didn't have any money to do anything anyway.
Yeah, but you just run up credit card bills.
No,
that gets absolved when you die.
No, but you're hurting
really?
Somebody.
Yeah,
you're hurting somebody in that way.
Paul just found a way out of debt. Death.
You mean when I die, my wife's not going to have to pay off my credit card bills?
I don't think it works that way.
It's not a victimless crime.
Right. All right.
It's not
well,
a
that's
crime.
It.
I've committed no crime.
Right. I'm dying.
We ended the show.
Suddenly, dying is a crime around here.
We ended the show on such a high note. all right. Thanks for listening this week. We'll be back next Tuesday. What's going on? Anything over the weekend that you know?
Well, Monday is
franchise deadline
day.
Okay.
Yeah. So by the next time we
by
have
next
a show,
time we speak,
we'll
Devin
know whether
McCourty
it was
will
used
be
or not.
All right. Well, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.